Views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What are we talking about here? Orgy? Is it a human sacrifice of some kind?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I've studied the human mind. I've learned how to read it and ultimately control it.
Fascinating. I can't wait to read it.
It's $14.99 on my website.
Okay.
Plus shipping and handling.
Even if I buy it here,
it ships from somewhere else, isn't it? And I've been handling it.
Paul Perillo.
Very attractive man. Can fit a whole octopus in his mouth. Sort of an animal magnetism about him.
And Andy. And Andy?
Do you have any idea what it's like, Tim, to be up to your elbow in a zebra's vagina?
Andy Hart.
What does it make you think of?
I guess it kind of makes me think of your penis.
Then you get it.
Eric Scalavino.
You know, that is so like you. You call a guy a douche and you get your first museum show out of it.
For now, anyway.
It smells like cabbage on this floor.
That's the smell of dead dreams.
I go to the clubs at night and people are like, hey, who's wearing the coleslaw? You know how hard it is to get laid when you smell like coleslaw?
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Oh man, they are planning one hell of a party.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Football is back, and we are thrilled. We kept the fire burning, and we did it, and here's the payoff. Football's back. I couldn't be more excited.
Sweaty?
Oh. I've been working all morning, but the players are trickling in, and they're starting to work out, starting to have some classroom, starting to, I don't know, do whatever they have to do to get ready to get on the field.
Not sure that's accurate. Just wanted to clarify. I think they may have just done physicals.
Whatever.
According to Paul Perillo.
The first practice will be...
According to the official NFL calendar, players may report for physicals and voluntary strength and conditioning.
Right. Voluntary today. Strength and conditioning. So they're here. Thursday morning is the first official practice. It's open to the public, 9:30 here at Gillette Stadium. There'll also be a 3:30 practice on Thursday. Those are unpadded. They're not allowed to put pads on.
Yeah, just want to clear that up for the people who may have heard the erroneous media reports that two-a-days are now a thing of the past. That's not true. You can have two practices a day. It's just only one of them can be padded.
Right.
So the old
and the other one's a walkthrough that you can't even have helmets.
Right.
Right.
So the old notion of two-a-days being two full padded, go at it, full steam practices is a thing of the past, but you can still have two practices in a day.
So again, for those thinking about coming down to Gillette, Thursday morning, 9:30, be here bright and early. And then at 3:30, the second practice of the day, both walkthroughs, if you will. And then Friday, same schedule, 9:30 and 3:30. We don't know the weekend schedule yet, but those are the first 2 days, Thursday and Friday. So we're psyched.
And a bit gassy, apparently.
Well, I just had a quick glass of Coke.
Nothing wrong with your podcast.
But it's going to be really interesting to see who's out there, who's not, with this rush to get back here.
Tomorrow when all the fat bodies have to take the conditioning run.
Right.
Who passes and who doesn't.
Who doesn't.
Quick little breaking news tweet from Adam Schefter.
Yes.
Patriots have informed Tully Vantakane he'll be released Thursday.
Ooh, wow.
Good prediction by me this morning on the radio.
So now I can call him
Did
Tully.
You say that?
Now I can call him Tully Cantaplay.
You're such a wuss. You should have called him that while he was here if you thought it.
Well, I always had hope.
What a terrible signing that was last year. What a terrible signing.
It happened even before then, didn't it?
No, it had. It wasn't the end of last.
Wasn't it rumored to be during the end of one season, and then it officially happened afterwards
but they signed him after the 2009-10 sack season.
All right.
And gave him $6 million.
Listen, there's a lot to talk about. A lot.
There is.
But first, I want to give out the email address, webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline. Okay, so.
A reported story. My mom is being contacted by the Patriots to see if she can play outside linebacker.
She might be able to. So, obviously, things happened really fast yesterday with the announcement by the players and the owners. The owners had their vote Thursday, but the players unanimously approved this CBA. So it looks like they haven't
the
actually
reps.
Yeah they have the players haven't actually voted on it yet. But supposedly that's just a formality. So things are back. And I don't know if anyone saw, I'm sure a lot of people did, the announcement on the streets of D.C. yesterday with the players and the owners. And when Jeff Saturday hugged Robert Kraft, I mean, I got a little verklempt. I don't know about you guys, but how could you not?
That is the visual of the end of the lockout.
It really was. Yeah. I mean, not only owners and players literally getting together, but the two storied rival franchises, Colts and Patriots, getting together. The,
right.
The symbolism was just more than
you
could have scripted.
As far as Robert Kraft goes, you know, maybe someday the story will be told about what he went through, you know, while his wife is dying, and you know, this important process is going on, that you know, he was needed on both sides, both mm-hmm. sides pulling on him.
You heard some of that from John Mara, the owner of the Giants, talking about how Robert mentioned that to him on the way over to the announcement yesterday.
Right.
Just how, what a toll it's taken on him all this time. And Robert's really become the face of the reunification of the league.
The goodwill that he's bought for himself and is just, I mean, he's like this Commissioner Goodell, but then there's like, he's the Pope. You know what I mean? Like, Goodell is like the president, but now Robert Kraft has become like the Pope.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like he's beyond, you know, the.
So he's transcended
Jewish.
He's
the Jewish.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Right.
The Rebbe, I guess they call it.
The Rebbe?
The Rebbe.
Is that such a thing?
Yes. He is a guy that lives in Brooklyn.
He needs a new PR man because the Pope is way more famous.
The guy that lives in Brooklyn, the Rebbe.
He gives out dollar bills. But it's true. The word
Rebbe
McIntyre? The word you just used, transcended. Mm. He's transcended almost the governance of the league to be almost a spiritual leader.
Right. Well, you can do is you can add him to – we do the list of lock Hall of Famers. Add Robert to the list.
Yeah.
Now. No doubt in my mind he's now a lock. You know,
Robert, Bill, Brady.
I'm glad you
remember,
because I wanted to talk to Jonathan.
Probably Vinatieri, too.
I wanted to talk to Jonathan Kraft. I said, you better start working on your speech that introduces Robert to the Hall of Fame, because I assume he would ask Jonathan to do it.
Presumptuous.
Well, I don't know.
And you could create an awkward moment.
Right.
Dad, I already wrote – What, you don't need that. You're not doing it.
Who's the Bill Belichick?
Fred Kirsch?
No,
the Rebbe?
That would be entertaining.
But it was quite a moment, and that is the face of, you know, the whole new unification. 10 years, no opt-outs on either side.
That's amazing to me.
So we don't have to worry about this BS for another 10 years.
I think I'm most amazed by that point, that there isn't wiggle room for either side to back out of it, because there were reports initially that there wouldn't be, and then quickly those were disputed by people saying no, it's going to be after 7, and then some even went, oh no, after 5. Now it came back to 10 full years. I'm really surprised at that. I don't know about you.
Well, that was the players, basically, because the players came in late and wanted a 5 or a 7 year opt out, and the owners said only if we have one, and the players decided they didn't want the owners to have one, be better to have none, so they went with none.
And
that works for us.
You know, as far as the details of the new agreement, we can get into that if people want to. We'll kind of let the emails and calls dictate that. I don't want to really into the minutia there. But the one thing that I do want to talk about, not money related, but it's this whole new practice thing that we talked about at the beginning of the show.
The wussification?
Yeah. And here's where, you know, at face value, you say, oh, wow, the players really won that. Did they? Is that really good for the players, for their careers, not to have those full practices and be limited in pads?
I'll tell you, I think
it's almost like saying to a third grader, oh, we're going to decrease your homework. Well, the third grader loves it, but is that really good for their future?
And then when he's getting a 2 on the SATs, he goes, woohoo, I had all that time off.
Exactly.
No, I think it's a problem to me. I don't care for it. It's going to be a trickle-down problem, because you have to think now they're going to use this as the guidelines for the rest of football in college and high school and say, well, maybe they shouldn't be having double sessions if it's bad for
you're already seeing
you
that.
You shouldn't be out there.
The Ivy League already announced that they were going to cut back on their
stupid.
Their
I mean, practices. Is it true right now? My kid played Pop Warner. I can't even remember exactly, but the average Pop Warner will be in pads in the month of August when they start getting ready.
More than the NFL?
More than the NFL.
I'm sure it is.
I believe it.
Pop Warner.
Yeah.
But they'll have to change that now, because they kind of take everything down from the top as it goes through. But my bigger issue is, one of the problems we have with player safety is launching, leading with helmets, bad form. How are you going to work on that if you don't ever practice in full pad conditions.
Excellent point.
So now Brandon Merriweather can walk around in shorts all training camp, and then when they get to a game, he'll launch himself with his missile head, and to me that's worse. Spend more time in pads, working on tackling, working on fundamentals, working on playing the game in a safe way, rather than just saying, we can't do it in a safe way. That's ridiculous.
Absolutely.
Do NASCAR drivers not drive, do they only drive 65 on their pre-race practice? Ridiculous.
Don't they always teach us you practice like you play?
Yes.
Well, if you don't, you don't...
Stupid. It's terrible.
It's a great point. It's a great point. Paul just joined us. Eric's already here. Andy's here. Rachel's in the booth. Hey, Rachel.
It's a weird announcement. No, I can't hear you.
You're no, not yet.
Rachel, can you turn Paul's mic on?
Yeah.
It's the big button.
The fat one.
Go ahead, Paul. Try it now.
Is that, oh,
there we go. Hey, Paul.
Paul's here.
Paul,
thank you.
Where were you? Blogging?
Yeah, I just was putting some stuff up that Patrick Chung had to say. Did you guys hear about TBC?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
We just heard Adam Schefter said that they're going to release him.
They plan to release him.
Add that to my list of worst signings in Patriots history.
Now, is that a release that maybe he could come back, or do you think that they're really pissed and that's it?
Well, I don't think it's they're really pissed and that's
it. Money.
I think it's a money thing. I think it would have happened in March.
It's got nothing to do with him announcing he's going to have surgery.
I don't. I'm not going to say that, I don't think that's the reason why they're letting him go. No.
Okay.
No, I think that might be just a coincidence. But I think Paul's right. I think they already saw what they were getting out of him, and they might have realized investing a little too much in this guy.
Maybe they should have realized that before they invested too much in it. Like the rest of us.
Okay.
Andy is particularly wound up. I could hear him yelling before I came into the...
I love football.
The monkey cage.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Football's back.
Patrick Chung said he didn't care, by the way, about the double sessions. I like to hit. I'm going to go out and run around and hit people, whether it's one practice, two practice, three practice.
So when there's no pads, he's going to go around hitting people?
He's not going to have a helmet and he's just going to hit people?
No, in pads. Whether it's one practice in pads or two or three or whatever. He didn't say he was going to hit people when he's not...
often.
Yeah, he didn't say he's going to hit people when he's not in pads.
He's not going to be in pads as often.
Not like our friend from a couple of years ago.
Yeah, Rashad Baker, the touchdown maker.
Yeah.
Paul, I haven't done the math, but I think as it stands right now,
I was told they'd be no
the average Pop Warner in the month of August will be in pads more than the average NFLer. I think that's the case.
I think you'd be right.
Yeah.
Because that'll be, generally, at the very least, there's three practices in pads.
Right.
For a Pop Warner football team.
Yep.
Certainly a high school team is going to be in pads at least twice a day for, what, a week and a half, Andy? Conservative?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, you're much closer to
probably
it than I am, 10 years exactly.
So that's at least, even if you go with a week and a half of double sessions, that's
and it was
20 plus the singles. You're talking
it's
about
20 days,
20
plus. It was a long time ago. Maybe they have put some requirements in now that didn't exist in the mid-80s when I played.
No, they will now. Because the NFL did it, now it'll all trickle down.
Mm-hmm. Two practices in pads, and then the third session was just what they're talking about now, kind of chalk talk kind of thing.
Pre-practice, walk around.
Yeah. We used to do it a lot of times at night. The night practice would be just kind of an informational review of what you did
and
you're going to do the next day.
This is the subject of my commentary. There'll be quite a rant in PFW in the upcoming issue. And Paul said I can't write what I wanted to write, so I figured I'd share it with our listeners on the show.
So instead he said he would say it on the radio.
Right. We have a little more liberal style here on the show. That
lenient.
Since NFL players won't be wearing pads as often, maybe they should start wearing pads of a different kind.
Oh, that's not even funny. It's not even worth writing.
Oh, I think it was tremendous.
It's not worth writing.
Tully can't play.
All right, so we've
used
have
it.
We gotten that one out yet?
He used it already.
No, he goes, he's released. Now I can call him Tully can't play.
Now I can call him that.
Good, Fred.
All right, so we've got the end of the lockout there, the new rules that pertain to the lockout, which we may or may not get into depending on what people want to talk about. But I think what people most want to talk about is personnel. And let's start with Bana Kane leaving. I mean, we already had a hole or a need at outside linebacker, pass rusher. Now what?
A serious need already.
Even though we all agree that Bana Kane didn't live up to what they hoped he would when they signed him to that contract 2 years ago. Now what? Now there's really a depth problem.
In addition
to a talent problem, there's a depth problem.
They have legitimately three outside linebacker, solely outside linebackers.
What about Markell Carter?
I'm counting him.
Oh, then four. Cunningham, Ninkovich, Eric Moore and Mark.
Well,
Eckhart.
Okay, he keeps counting Eric Moore as I'm just.
Well, I mean, he got some reps at the end of the year.
He could, yes, he did, but he could also, if needed, play on the defensive line. I'm talking about guys who are solely outside linebackers.
That's Eric Moore. Eric Moore couldn't play the defensive line.
Andy is definitely wound up, and I love it.
Oh yeah,
I love it.
Despite what Mike Reese wrote for the end of last season, when you're in a sub package and the guy's rushing with his hand down, he's still an outside.
That's
linebacker.
That's an outside linebacker.
I don't change Cunningham or Mike Vrabel or Willie McGinnis and say they're defensive linemen.
Right.
They're outside linebackers in this system, and that's what they do.
Okay.
Whatever. Either way, they're seriously thin.
Yep.
To begin with, they were.
So now although they've been signing, good segue into our undrafted rookies.
Yeah, why don't we get into the...
Signing a bunch of guys that, you know, I don't think have any chance of playing, but that would kind of fit the mold at that outside linebacker or a little undersized anyway. The list includes Will Yeatman, who's a lacrosse player and tight end, formerly of Notre Dame, went to Maryland after he had a little alcohol-related incident. So he is signed, according to Will Yeatman's own Twitter feed. Various other reports indicate that offensive lineman Mike Berry out of Auburn, offensive lineman Kyle Hicks out of Texas, those are both big dudes. Jeremy Ross, kick returner, wide receiver type out of Cal. Rutgers defensive end, 6'3", 267, Alex Silvestro. Iowa linebacker Jeff Tarpinian, 6'2", 235, 456. He seems to be a guy that everybody says without injuries would have been a player. Comparisons to the Angerer kid that ended up starting for the Colts last year, Paul, you remember. Akron offensive lineman Corey Woods.
Opposing offenses certainly do.
Yes. Defensive end / long snapper out of Nevada, Ryan Colson, who, I don't know, I'm not sure we're set at long snapper, so there's a guy that maybe would have a chance, right?
At least one of these guys is going to make the team.
Given
history, yeah.
Clay Nurse, defensive end out of Illinois, 6'2", 261, but kind of slow, 5'0", type 40 time.
There's a brother named Clay Nurse.
What?
Not one of your best efforts,
terrible.
Right?
Well, you know, when you were young, you played nurse.
So those are all of them. I find it interesting.
With the girl next door.
Seems like a lot of linebacker defensive end types and a lot of offensive linemen. Two of the positions we've talked about as needs on this team for depth with all the turnover, lack of depth. More importantly than that, though, speaking of personnel, we'll lay it all out on the table. Peter King came out with his top 50 free agents.
Andy, before you get to that, which is Paul. Just because those are professional unrestricted free agents, can you tell me the defensive ends, because I know there was some defensive ends listed and some linebackers listed. Are they all outside linebacker types for us?
No, I think the Iowa kid is an inside linebacker.
Okay.
The Tarpanian.
So the defensive ends that were listed, I was right to assume, are outside
Clay
linebacker
Nurse,
types for us. I didn't
Clay
look
Nurse,
up.
Clay Nurse, Colson, and one other guy, Silvestro.
And we think they translate to edge guys for us.
Oh, yeah.
Not 3-4 ends.
Oh, no. 6'3", 260, 6'3", 250, 6'3", 260.
Okay. We'll go on to the Peter King stuff.
Now, Peter King's top 50 free agents in this week's Sports Illustrated. Three of them interesting for the Patriots. He gives an old team and a new team his prediction. He predicts the Patriots to sign three of the top 50. Number 50, a PFW favorite, Matt Roth. Then he, a bit surprising one, I think, 22, Melvin Bullitt, safety from the Colts, landing with the Patriots.
I like that.
And I think the most interesting one I posed last week.
That would have
week,
to be the end of Merriweather, by the way, if that happened.
On the blog, Ronnie Brown, running back, Miami Dolphins to the New England Patriots. Fred doesn't think much of him. I think he would immediately become the most talented member of the backfield.
This is Andy putting words in my mouth. Of the three, the one I was most excited about was
Melvin Bullitt.
I wasn't interested in Ronnie Brown.
No, but if you're going to be most excited about someone, you would typically mention them first. And you mentioned Melvin Bullitt first.
Yeah, Ronnie Brown would be my guy out of those three, certainly. And I agree with Andy's premise. I know what you wrote, and we've talked about it all offseason. Probably get him for really reasonable money. And I agree with you. He would immediately be the most talented member of your backfield right now.
Now, the downside would be, what does that say for Kevin Falk?
Well,
if you're a Patriots fan.
But I think you kind of...
I think Kevin Falk is fighting a really, really uphill battle to make the team.
Yeah, and I think we've been saying that for a while. I think he's... I think he understands that in the back of his mind. He might not be ready to admit it yet, but I think he's approaching that conclusion as well. So,
well, it seemed like he's getting more, I want to play. And earlier in the offseason, he kind of wavered, talking to his wife, you know, giving different vibes, blah, blah, blah.
He might.
Now I think he wants to play. I think they're probably going to sign him.
Well, let's see when he gets out there because, you know, he's got the itch.
Right.
Because this is the time of the year where he's getting ready and this is what he knows.
As I've said since February or March or the last time we talked to him, I think we might see a Teddy Bruschi situation with him where
right.
he comes to camp, tries to give it
and
a go.
And then disappears for a few days.
And just realizes he might not have it. And we don't know. I mean, but I'm just going by, he's coming off a serious injury at a position where there's players who stepped in very capably when he was out last year. So Paul's right. It's an uphill battle for him, given his age, his injury.
But that's
the
see,
other
that's
people
a
on
big
the
difference,
roster.
The injury. Because in his own mind, if he's fighting the itch,
right.
he's going to say, well, you know, in a couple weeks I'll be better. Whereas Teddy Bruschi, it was just, I ain't got it anymore. There's no injury to get past. There's nothing. I just don't have it anymore. Whereas Falk, if he wants to talk himself into it, can pretend,
right.
well, it took Welker a couple weeks, too. By October, I'll be back to my normal self.
Now, assuming that Falk can get back to at least where he was last year, who's a better player right now, Ronnie Brown or Kevin Falk?
Ronnie Brown.
Yeah, it's kind of unfair. I think they do different things, though.
I mean, Ronnie Brown
versatile.
Plays, he can play every down. He can do all, if there's one thing he is, he's very versatile.
The only thing I don't know that Brown can do better than Falk is pass protect. I don't know that only because I'm not familiar with Brown doing that.
Yeah, that's good.
Everything else that Kevin Falk can do, I think Ronnie Brown can do better, in my opinion.
Yeah. And Ronnie Brown.
Now, he cost a lot more money, when he was doing that.
Right.
I mean, Kevin Falk has carried the load as your lead back on occasion, but that's Ronnie Brown's job, predominantly.
Right.
Falk's
right.
job is to be a complimentary back.
Right.
Now, I don't believe he had a very good year last year.
He didn't.
No.
He might be done.
I want to say he was at like 3-3.
Yeah, he was very he did nothing last year.
He had a terrible football team. When you play without a quarterback, it's hard to be a running back.
Right.
Speaking
they
of all
dared that,
that
guy to pass. I mean,
this is the beginning of that wild 2 or 3 week period that everybody's been talking about. The reports are starting to come in already. I mean, now they're saying Kyle Orton perhaps to Miami, and that's an upgrade over Chad
Henne. What they have,
sure.
Without question. Now, Kyle Orton, I don't think he's going to make them a playoff team, but he might make them, a 9 or 10 win team.
So does that mean Denver is
he might get them on the edge
for Tebow?
Mm-hmm. Looks like it.
That's amazing because when Elway first took the job, he had a backtrack on some statements he made about Tebow. Something happened since then that Tebow sold himself on Elway.
Him. He met him and he felt better off for having met him.
Yeah.
So,
seriously, I mean, could there be any two different types of quarterback than John Elway was and what Tebow is now? And so, Elway comes in and looks at this
one
guy.
One good,
and like,
one not.
Well, no, but I'm not even going there. I mean,
I
Elway looks at the guy and says, this guy can't be an NFL quarterback because he's thinking about how he played the position himself. So, Tebow must have done a lot to really change Elway's mind.
And Elway will regret it.
Will he? I don't know.
Yeah.
I
just don't see Tim Tebow ever being a legitimate NFL quarterback.
You can only run the fullback dive with the quarterback.
I
think his career is going to be very short in the NFL because I think he's going to try to play the way he played at Florida. Based on what little I saw of him last year, that's what I saw. And I think he's going to get hit. He's going to get hit a lot. He's going to slow down. And then he can't throw well enough to stop running. If he can't run, he can't be effective.
I got to tell you, I'm going to be rooting for him. I'm going to be rooting for him.
I didn't say I would. You have to root against him. I'm saying I'm just trying to analyze the player.
Yeah.
I don't care for the aura that seems to surround this kid. I don't. He's just a guy, just like everybody else. I don't really care for that.
I think Twitter's having problems.
That worship.
He's not the son of God.
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't really care for that. But if I thought he was, more Michael Vick, I would say it. This guy he's a special athlete. He's going to make guys miss. He'll be able to. Michael Vick is one of the most special athletes that the NFL has ever seen, and he has not been able to avoid getting hurt running around like that.
True.
I don't see Tim Tebow throwing a ball as well as Michael Vick, and I certainly don't see him running the ball as well as Michael Vick. I think he's going to have a very short career.
Okay. But having said that, it looks if these Kyle Orton trade rumors are true, the Broncos seem to be.
But
so
they kind of have to do that, don't they? I mean, can you take a first round pick and never give him a chance?
I guess not. I mean, you know,
you have to try.
But he wasn't Elway's first round pick,
right? You have a fall guy in Josh McDaniels.
No, I understand that, but I just think as an organization, you can't just take a first round pick and never even give him a chance.
No, but you could trade Tebow. You know,
if anybody wanted him.
Yeah.
Browns need a backup for what's his name? Big white fullback to play.
All right, so getting back to the Patriots. Peter King had his free agent list. What other rumors are out there that we're hearing about for the Patriots? You know,
I'm just seeing one. Tony Carter being told he's going to be released.
Oh yeah, that was a while back. Yeah. Tony Carter.
Fred has never heard of Tony Carter.
Oh, which one? The receiver or the running back?
Neither. The defensive back.
Oh, okay.
I don't know Tony Carter, the receiver.
Who was the guy?
That was Chris Carter?
No.
Tony Simmons?
No. He played for San Diego, and then he came to the Dolphins, I thought.
Chris Chambers?
No. Tony something.
And he went the other way. Went from the Dolphins to the Chargers.
No, Tony something. There was a receiver. Tony?
Tony Martin.
Yes, Tony Martin. That's it.
Yep.
Good Paul.
None of those guys is who we're talking about.
Tony Martin.
I'm just thinking wide receivers named Tony, and I'm just throwing them out there randomly.
We are all dumber for having listened. I award no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Oh, believe me, you guys are far smarter. Far smarter than you're giving yourselves credit for. Believe me.
Ocho Cinco rumors are still floating.
Fred just
I'm
had
sorry.
A stroke.
Fred just came back from Mars.
I actually kind of did. I've been.
He was rewiring the stadium, Paul.
Did you guys mention there were tweets about Brady being here? I don't know if anybody cares.
Oh, that's good. That's great.
I didn't see him.
I would assume every player who's under contract is going to be here today.
Oh, yeah.
I know it's voluntary, air quotes.
I would think at some point today, everybody.
You can't get out there tomorrow unless you've had your physical.
Everyone sucks but me.
You only have to come tomorrow.
But you could come tomorrow and get your physical and 10 minutes later be out there.
Yeah.
But I would assume everybody's anxious to be here.
They weren't here very long today. There was players that we saw coming in that we also saw leave. So they weren't there that long.
Okay. So tomorrow will be the big day. I saw all the media was up on the main concourse taking videos of all the players coming in.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen in the loop, ESPN has been running some of that, some of the players coming and going.
Any truth that Bill came out and yelled, jump, jump, to all the media?
No sign of Bill, and according to Patrick Chung, no sign of Bill. They didn't talk to Bill while inside. He didn't anyway.
Nobody said, what's up, Bill? I shouldn't say they didn't.
Patrick Chung said
what's up, Bill?
He didn't talk to Bill.
Maybe Bill's still mad about certain things late last year.
It is what it is.
Well, Chung's been around for a while. He was at the funeral. I saw him there.
He, by the way, I'm glad you brought that up, Freddie. The first thing that he mentioned, he just wanted to reiterate the condolences to the Kraft family and just express how impressed he was with Robert's role and his ability. He was impressed with the outpouring of emotion toward Myra Kraft, but also added just how impressed he was with Robert's ability to work as hard as he did while in obvious emotional pain. To go through that, he said, I'm not sure I could have done anything like that, and just over-the-top praise for Mr. Kraft, which, you know, and then he got into football, which I thought was a classy move by Patrick Chung.
A couple quick emails. Larry writes in that Kevin Falk will end up on the PUP list. Okay. And Matt from Quincy says it's pretty clear that Tully Bannacane will be re-signed once he's healthy. All this tells me is that he won't be ready for the start of the season.
Why is that clear?
Why do you have to release him? I mean, what's the big deal?
Like I said, it's not having anything to do with the injury. If they released him for money and they're going to re-sign him, it doesn't have anything to do with the injury. That's my point.
Right. Does he have a day one roster bonus or anything?
Yeah, they could re-sign him, but they're not going to re-sign him for $6 million or whatever it is that he's making this year. Yeah. I think it's $4.5 million on the cap this year, right?
But I wonder if he has a roster bonus.
He could.
Some sort of
that's what I'm saying. It's money. It's not injury related. Is my point. It's money related. If it at all, it has. It's not. You know, as Andy pointed out initially, performance related. It might just be they're cutting ties with him. This would have happened in March had there not been a lockout.
Really should have drafted Quinn.
Somebody.
I think that the more
any
people
body,
tell
with an emphasis on body. Mm-hmm.
I think the more people tell Bill Belichick that what he needs, the more stubborn he gets and goes in the opposite direction.
Right, but he's going. I'll show them. He's going so
far. They continue to tell me I need a pass rusher. I'm going to go without any pass rusher. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell my guys not to even cross the line of scrimmage.
Right.
11 retreat.
Maybe that's why he drafted Rozay Dowling, because he needed more corners, so Kyle Arrington had more time to play outside linebacker.
You're not joking about this, are you? Cross the line of scrimmage. I forget what. Where did I read this? I read a summation.
It was an email.
Who wrote
it? Our show. One of the emails.
No,
the show.
This was someone.
Paul's holding his head. Like, he really is.
No,
he's not going to make it.
He's looking like Kevin Collins.
In all seriousness,
after
17
hours of work.
I forget who wrote it, but it was one of the local media guys wrote a summation of, you know, position breakdowns like we've been doing.
Not nearly as well.
And said that having the added corner in Dowling can open up Arrington to be used in sub situations as a pass rusher.
I'm going to say it was Ian.
So that's what you're looking to do? You're looking to get a small... And then they actually had the audacity to say he showed a penchant for that last year.
Oh,
when? Even Fred was disgusted. Fred was so mad, like, in late November last year, I thought he was going to start rooting for the Broncos again when we continued to rush Arrington off the edge on third downs. I mean, really, that's part of your drafting philosophy is I need to find a way to add to the depth of a corner so I can take this corner and make him a pass rusher? That's what we've come to?
I don't know who wrote that, but...
I forget who wrote it, and I don't want to kill anybody for not... But that someone wrote it.
I'll read William Berry's email, then we'll take a break. He says, Fred and his crime-fighting team, with the lockout over, I assume the summer of Andy is done.
Unfortunately.
Here's what will happen. Andy and Eric will make a solid view of all free agent and undrafted free agents, including probable cap casualties. Andy takes credit for all of it.
Yep.
The Jets cut several players to make room for Asa, however you spell it. The Patriots signed them.
Namdi Asamoah.
Fred decides that they were awesome. Paul puts his finger in the air to see if this is seen as a good move. If it is that way, he is against it. Belichick does something different than Andy and Eric's review of free agents suggests. Eric decides Belichick is an uncouth savage who will lead the Patriots to 7-9. Andy distances himself from Eric. So with that,
that's pretty good.
We'll take a quick break. We come back. A lot of emails coming in, a lot of calls. We'll get right to them.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson here to tell you about the second annual Mo Si Fatupu Comedy Benefit. The Mo Si Fatupu Comedy Benefit is back and better than ever. Tuesday evening, August 23rd, will feature special appearances by Hall of Famers John Hanna, Andre Tippett, Gino Castelletti, as well as current and former professional athletes and local celebrities at Gillette Stadium. The evening will feature comedy performances by headliners Lenny Clark, Paul D'Angelo, Paul Narduzzi, Steve Sweeney, and more. With live auctions, silent auctions, and nonstop laughter, this event is a fun evening you won't want to miss. All proceeds will benefit the Mo Si Fatupu Memorial Scholarship Foundation, which provides college scholarships to young athletes with learning differences, exemplifying the outstanding qualities that characterize our dear friend Mo Si Fatupu. Last year's event sold out quickly, so be sure to purchase your tickets today. Visit the Patriots.com website for more details and to purchase your tickets. I look forward to seeing you at the second annual Mo Si Fatupu Comedy Benefit.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
You asked.
How come the only time you give out the phone number is the time when people can't call?
And we listened.
They can't call. That line's busy.
Why do you have to tell everybody there's only one line?
The phone line has been upgraded to four lines. Call us at 508-298-0398.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. Andy, Eric, Paul, Fred in the house, Rachel, and Kevin in the booth.
Bad Kevin.
Bad Kevin. Strippers writes in, he wants to know, someone please explain, maybe Andy, why releasing Tully Bannacane was smart. He's saying a lot of people on Twitter are saying the Patriots are stupid.
Well, I don't think they're stupid releasing him. I think the poor decision was in giving him a pretty lucrative contract after the 10-sack season. At which point, I believe I beat into the ground the difference between a 10-sack player and a player who simply had 10 sacks in a season. I think they gave him too much money then. And now I think they realize they gave him too much money and they're cutting ties with it. But it hurts because he was on the depth chart. Whatever you want to say about him, he was one of your rotational guys, and they now don't have a lot of guys at that position.
Okay.
But, I mean, it was clear last year. The first year back, he started out in, you know, a reduced role rotational guy. Then he worked his way into the starting lineup as a guy who was kind of the key to their pass rush, had 10 sacks, whatever. Then last year he started out as a starter and his playing time decreased, became more in that rotational role, despite the fact he was kind of being paid as a starter. So his whole career here over the last 2 years kind of went ass backwards and upside down.
I mean, it's amazing to me that his career has even gone as far as it has. Given that he was a seventh-round pick, basically an undrafted free agent.
He's hit the free agent payday twice, and both teams regretted it shortly thereafter.
Yeah, it's true.
Come on.
I don't feel bad for him.
What is that, the Peter principle?
Yeah. Yep.
He reaches that ceiling, and somebody pays him beyond the ceiling, and he just plays at the ceiling.
Right.
Right. You can't break it. You've reached the level of your own incompetence, they say.
And while he is a very nice man, that is true. Maybe the same thing can be said about me.
Kamani writes
in nice man,
about the pads issue. He says the reason the players wanted this was to protect themselves from egomaniac coaches who want to run them into the ground.
So some limitations are fine to me, but eliminating padded sessions, double sessions, it's the heart of football.
Have we heard from one player, though, who said, oh, that's great?
Well, you're not going to.
Well, every player we hear from says, I don't like it.
Your example was perfect. No one wants to do homework, but it's for your own good.
Exactly.
The kids who don't do homework end up like Paul. No?
Why are they making fun of me?
I don't know. You seem to regret your career choices on occasion. Like today when you said, when I write the book about my career demise, this is a chapter.
That's a big chapter today.
While you were out on the balcony saying, Darnell Jenkins just showed up.
There's Thad Turner.
How'd you know?
Yeah, I was going to say, how did you recognize Thad Turner?
Josh Barrett in the house.
I wouldn't have known. What number is he?
I knew 43. I only know that because he was on the
practice
squad.
I have to...
Josh Barrett?
No.
Josh Barrett I knew. I recognized him.
I was asking about Barrett.
I have to confess, if the other people weren't there, I would not have been tweeting that Thad Turner was here.
Is his name Thaddeus?
I don't know.
Thaddeus Maximus?
Watching people drive in cars.
That could be a getting to know.
I would have covered NASCAR if that's what I wanted to do.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Dave from the Philippines writes in, it's so good to know that there will be football this year. I would have been terribly disappointed, along with millions of other people, if this deal hadn't gotten done. I will add my voice to the many others thanking Robert Kraft for his dedication to working this deal out through the most trying situation imaginable. As great as all this news is, I do have one burning question for the coach. And he says, B.
Yo, B!
Belichick!
I think he meant A. Under the new labor agreement, how does he feel about the fact that the Patriots cheerleaders will have tougher workouts than the players? only 11 practices with pads for a season? I think that's 14.
11 in the first 11 weeks.
I know the players worry about injuries, but come on. It's still supposed to be football, right? Anyway, glad to know you guys will have something better to talk about.
I would like, I said to Eric, I'd like to ask him in camp about it. You get one of two answers. You're either getting, you know, we play by the rules that they give us, blah, blah, blah. Or you get the snide, sarcastic, geniuses at the league, blah, you know, whatever. I can't imagine he's happy about it. He started in this league back. He tells the stories, you know, when I started, training camp started in July, and it was 2+ months of double set. He's old school. There's some old school to him. I can't imagine he's happy that not only is he being told no double sessions, but he's also being told the limit on padded practice during the season. And, oh, by the way, 11 have to come in the first 11 weeks. So if you don't use all 11, if your team's banged up and you need to take a week off, you lose it, basically.
Right.
You can't pick it up later. So that's a lot of micromanaging, being told how to coach your team.
And you, there's less chance to fairly evaluate who you've got on the team. As Eric said, I think, last week, these young guys, they're going to really get the shaft because there's going to be less opportunities for them to, you know, flash.
Literally.
Yeah.
Because they've also cut back on the opportunity practices, I believe. That was discussed.
That's
I haven't seen the final version, but that was another thing that was getting chopped off. It was a joke when I said a 1.1% chance that he would just say, I can't deal with this crap. Because they're telling him how to coach. It's not like rules of free agent. They're telling him how to coach.
Right.
And he always talks about how every team is different. You have to get a feel for it, how it's you're losing that ability to get the feel. You can only do what they tell you to do.
Right.
Yeah. And then, and during,
I really agree with that.
What's it called? The homogenization?
During the season.
Too, I don't know.
Homogenization? You know, if you're, say, banged up a little bit earlier or later and you want to structure your practices, like say you have a quote unquote big game coming up against an opponent a particular week and you want to go a little bit harder in practice, you can't necessarily do that anymore. Because, you know, you might want to go 2-3 days in a row with pads and then give them a little break later on in the year. You're not going to be able to structure it as well as you would like because now you have to follow these rules. And, yeah, coaches like Bill aren't going to respond to this too well.
I like, you know, and Bill seemed to do this. It wasn't anything overt, but didn't it seem like he kind of used the pads as a hammer?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And the no pads as a carrot.
That's what I mean. That's exactly what I'm saying.
So
The carrot is always there. The hammer is not there.
Now he's going to literally have to take a hammer out to the field. And
He'll have to find new ways to. Yeah, I don't know. It's terrible. You've cut the coaches off at the knees.
Chris from Hereford, England. Hope everyone is well. We're great. Thanks for asking. Thanks for keeping the flame alive and burning throughout this lockout. Just a few questions.
You mean Eric, right?
After hearing the news that Tully Bannacane is to be released Thursday, I just wondered how much cap space this frees up.
Paul, you want to handle that one?
Based on reports, $4.5 million he was set to earn on the cap. I don't know how much they would save with that. If we would need to know specifically how much signing bonus he had, you know, just that his cap number isn't what you save. In other words,
and he wants to know, you know,
be less than $4.5 million
by cutting him. They just do that to just bring him back on the cheap.
They could. I'm not dismissing that as a possibility. Greg Bedard from the Boston Globe has already speculated what we talked about in the office yesterday. I wonder if it opens up the door for him to file an injury grievance.
Yeah,
because he claims that the injury took place last year.
He played through it.
Mm-hmm. That would be my retort as a Patriot would be, well, why did you wait till July 25th?
According to our friend Miguel over at Pat's Cap,
who is as good at this stuff as anybody,
Tully Bannacane's 2011 total cap figure for this year, $4.508 million. Remaining signing bonus, including this year, was $4 million, because I think it was $6 million on a 3-year deal, if I remember correctly. So the 2011 cap savings is $1.895 million. So you were going to pay him 4.5 on the cap. You get shave off 1.95 off that.
So it's negligible.
Oh, well, that's
$2 million bucks.
Yeah, so. No, that's significant.
Any Jimmy Sanders sightings out there today?
That's a good savings. And don't forget,
should I be concerned?
You have to do. You have to sign all your rookies still. You know, all of these guys that Andy talked about earlier in the show, the rookie free agents. I know that all together they make some money. I mean, individually they don't even have a blip on the radar. But the cap did go down from where it was
in
you know,
rookie
from,
pool.
Yeah, and from what the cap was in 2009, it was $123 million. It's going down to 120, coming off an uncapped year.
Right.
So a lot of teams are going to probably want to create some space. Even the ones that weren't over, the Patriots were probably closer to the cap at this stage than they ever have been. You know, you have a lot of things that can still happen. You have to figure out what you're going to do with Matt Light. See if you want to get something going with Logan Mankins. Even though that would probably lower his cap number if you did something with him long term. You have to figure out your decisions on unrestricted free agents around the league. If you want to sign them, you're talking to them now in hopes of getting a deal done to the end of the week. You need some maneuverability.
You need some maneuverability, but also as part of this new deal, teams have to spend 99% of the cap. So there's no longer, you know, the floor that, you know, for example, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last year, I think they had only spent up 85% of the cap.
Yeah, but the difference is everybody is talking about those numbers. That was the uncapped year, and that's why teams took advantage of that uncapped year because there was no ceiling.
But if that's your
and
if,
no
but,
floor.
But if you ended the year and that was your payroll, now you have to kind of spend some money to get back up there.
And the other thing to keep in mind is you don't have to get to that 99% number until the end of the year.
Until the end of the year. Yep, that's a good point. And in addition to that, and this gets a little complicated, as far as cash expenditure, you have to spend 89%. You know, so a lot of this is like bonuses that are likely to be earned or, you know, other things like that.
Like Vince Wilfork last year signed that big extension. I forget all the individual numbers, but that was a big number.
Right.
But it wasn't all cash.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, some of it was cap.
It counted against the cap,
right.
but it wasn't actual cash expenditure.
Right. But if you're Tampa, you can wait, and I'm drawing a blank now, but on the quarterback. If he's your franchise quarterback,
Josh Freeman,
you could give him an extension in December that gives him a bonus.
You could.
Okay, there goes $15 million.
Right.
We used up.
All of a sudden you went from that big basement that Freddie talked about with Tampa.
To fill it out.
And now all of a sudden there's not that much room in between. Right. And that's a team like Tampa who had a lot of room. The Patriots didn't.
Right.
Patriots are like most teams. They're, you know, sort of within $10 million of that cap. I want to say most estimates had them. I think John Clayton had them around seven.
Yeah.
You know, that's not that much space.
Now, there's another rule. Like, for example, as of today or as of yesterday, the Cowboys and, like, the Jets were over the cap. But you were allowed to borrow $3 million against next year's cap in order to keep yourself under it. So,
And you also don't have to be under the cap until Thursday at 4?
Something like that.
I believe.
I think it might be Friday.
Or Friday at 4?
Friday at 6? Oh, 4.
Friday's what, the 29th?
The league year starts Friday at 6?
The league year doesn't technically start till August 4th.
Okay. Which is one of the biggest wrinkles in this deal Paul and I were talking about. Free agents can sign as of Friday, can't practice until August 4th. There's like a 5-6 day window in there where they can be here, work out, go to meetings, but they can't practice.
Which I don't understand. And I know it has something to do with the technicalities of recertifying the union and all this to make sure it's all ratified and everything is now on paper and it's set in stone. I guess there's nothing they can do about it because you want to allow the teams to sign free agents as quickly as they can. You don't want to make them wait until August 4th to do that. I guess there's no other way, but it's kind of lousy for even a guy like Matt Light, even if you sign your own free agents, by the way. If they re-sign Matt Light, he can't practice until August 4th.
Oh, really?
Yeah, according to what Florio wrote, whoever wrote that on Pro Football Talk.
Literally a week before the first
preseason. Yeah, even if you re-sign your own free agents. And the reason is, Andy,
another reason not
because those contracts were terminated. And it may even be if you trade for guys, assuming that you want to redo their contracts, they're going to have to wait. Kevin Cobb is going to get traded. Mm-hmm. The assumption would be that Arizona's going to trade for him and then redo his contract.
Right.
If they do, he's not under contract. If you're not under contract currently.
When it all started.
Exactly.
You can't be under contract until August.
And the only exception to those are rookies. Rookie free agents and rookie draft picks.
Right.
Because they never had a contract to begin with.
While I'm on Pat's cap and we're talking about cap savings, just wanted to bring up Nick Cazier. He's a guy that a lot of people talked about.
I'm surprised we haven't heard him yet.
cap hit this year of $4.383 million, savings of $3.095 if he were to be cut. That's a good chunk of savings. That's more than Banta Kane.
Yeah, and to be clear, August 4th is also the day that teams have to be at the cap limit.
Oh, it is all the
way okay, they changed that.
4:01 p.m. as of this is the official NFL.com.
Okay, then that is a change to something that we read yesterday.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure they said by Friday they had to be cap compliant yesterday.
Yep.
The first 51 players.
Yeah, August 4th, first day of 2011 league year at 4:01 p.m. New York time. Assuming ratification by NFLPA.
I have less of a problem with that.
All clubs must be within the salary cap by that time.
And James Sanders, 2.495 would be saved if he were cut.
That's a good save.
See, I think your other guy is going to go. What is Merriweather? Probably not as big a savings as that. Last year of a rookie deal, correct?
Merriweather, yeah.
He'll be saving on missed tackles, though.
Ooh, a little shot. From the Flames, staying alive.
Aww.
I may have missed him. You ever notice when you're scrolling on your phone, you tend to miss stuff? Brandon Merriweather's cap number for this year, $2.8 million.
And an Andy Rooney instead of an Andy Harbaugh.
Can I ask why all the months are spelled so crazily?
This thing is different than mine.
I don't like February. I kind of like December.
1.395, Paul, is the savings for Brandon Merriweather.
1.3, so 1.4 and then 2.5
for my
five, so like a million difference? I think when Melvin Bullitt
Eric's
signs...
Eric's right. What are those missed tackles worth?
I think when Melvin Bullitt signs, one of those two is most definitely gone. I would get rid of Merriweather.
Bullitt. Melvin Bullitt sounds like Merriweather's kind of safety.
Oh!
You know what, though?
That's a shot.
He'll be a fan favorite. Melvin Bullitt will be a fan favorite with that name.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Won't matter if he can play. We'll talk about it off.
Cookie? You just gave Paul the steal sign. What is that?
Stop giving away our signals. Oh. You're not supposed to look at other guys' signals.
Looks at other guys' junk, so why wouldn't he look at other guys' signals?
You end up getting drilled for that, you know.
Yeah.
Josh Beckett would hit you for that.
Is that right?
Well, Josh Beckett would hit you for, you know.
Speaking of
breathing.
Speaking of guys' junk, Brett Favre to the Eagles has been poo-pooed. Is that dead?
Bus Cook says it's... nothing to it now.
His players not coming out of retirement.
Let me tell you something, Fred.
I'll tell you what. I wouldn't put this. I could see this whole thing. Brett Favre talked to somebody in the NFL. He has no desire to play. He has no interest in playing. He has no intention of coming back. But he said, "You know what? The lockout's over.
I need some attention.
I need some attention." And he fed it to somebody.
I told you this yesterday.
Who fed it to? Freddie. I think the Howard Eskin guy was the one in Philadelphia who kind of got the ball rolling. He talked to somebody and said, "Yeah, I'd go back to Philadelphia and play for Andy Reid as a backup."
And that's what they do. They get it out there somehow just to test.
But he does it.
Yeah.
Mostly that's the agent that does that. He can't help himself. He does it himself.
He really can't.
The day he dies, a team is going to be reported to be interested in signing him.
Right.
After the fact. And like you said, you got to have the vampire coming out of the grave.
The coffin's going to have a number 4 on it.
Right.
And the lid's going to open, and he's going to come out to play another year.
Who's running this thing? Vince McMahon?
Let's see.
Andy's all of a sudden interested.
Big Jeff from South Boston writes in, with Banta Kane now officially gone, do you think it would be good to get Charles Johnson from the Panthers? Mm-hmm. While he is a 3-4 end, he would be a huge upgrade from Mike Wright. There are no stellar outside linebackers on the free agent list. It is clear that our main priority is now outside linebacker with Banta Kane gone. However, why not have Charles Johnson come in and send Guyton to the outside? Guyton is on the outside.
No.
Oh, no, he's on
Guyton's
the inside. You're
inside
right.
Linebacker.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
He has lined up on the outside, but
he plays
he's an inside.
Inside. Guyton isn't too bad at setting the edge and is extremely fast. He isn't prototypical size at the position, but it's not like we have many experienced linebackers at this point. Seems with Banta Kane's departure that we may try to create more pressure by using a 4-3 front, and getting Charles Johnson is key in doing this and creating the pressure we need. Also, what do you think about Dante Whitner? He's very good and underrated safety who's been on a bad team. Imagine how Bill would use him in our defense. He's the poor man's Bob Sanders in my eye. Thanks as always. P.S. We don't need more running backs, and Ronnie Brown, although he's good, gets injured too much. Vereen will do just fine, trust me.
It's funny, a lot of people in Buffalo think Whitner's overrated. People still think of him based on his draft status.
Well, he was drafted
too high. I think he made
one.
Did he make a Pro Bowl? or he gets talked about in that.
I don't remember.
Everybody says he's overrated.
I agree with the last sentence there about Ronnie Brown. As much as I like Ronnie Brown, I don't think the Patriots need him.
No, but he's becoming is Fred Taylor. He fills out that spot of the talented veteran who's often injured. Right, and if you get something from him, you get it. If you don't,
I just don't know how much that really does for you. Well, even if he does something for you, I don't know how much of a difference he makes. That's what I'm saying.
What if you're
the upside,
happy with the
I'm
four,
not sure.
And you say, okay, I'm just going to sign him because if he stays healthy, I get a boom. Mm. But I don't get much of a bust.
But do you think it's
four,
a boom is if he stays healthy is my question.
Oh, I think he's pretty talented.
Yeah. I think he still might
I don't,
be able to
see,
do
I don't know
last
how much
year's
he,
numbers, I think he's still pretty talented. Yeah. I think he can line up wide.
I have a lot of respect for the player.
To produce with
I just think
Brown.
He. I think he might be done.
He might be.
The guy I saw last year looked like he had lost a step.
I think you could have put half the running backs in their prime on that team and they would have got killed. I think that team was terrible.
They were pretty bad. There's no question about it. The only thing I'll say about them is they're tough. That's a tough team.
Sure.
They play.
Oh, that
they
comes
play,
from their coach.
They play hard.
He's a hard-nosed offensive line guy.
They're like Fred used to make fun of the Jets. Used to call them the cockroaches of the NFL. You can never kill them. I think that was what the Sperano Dolphins have become, the cockroaches in the NFL.
I thought he dropped the roaches.
They're just not that good.
Oh,
they're not very good.
Let's see. Casey from Milwaukee writes in. Congratulations, men, including Eric.
Flames alive.
The lockout is over. I repeat, the lockout is over. Players are coming in and out of Gillette Stadium. There are rumors of release and signings, and we are entering the craziest free agent signing in NFL history. Welcome back to football, guys. There is no more summer of Andy. Fred's vacations to lacrosse jamborees are over, and Paul's extensive memory of Rams-Patriots games from the 80s can go back to least relevant football information sent on PFW Today, where it belongs. I listen to many, many football podcasts. Rich Eisen is obviously the cream of the crop, getting gigantic names from sports, comedy, and TV. I suggest his latest Ray Lewis interview for Paul, real Emmy-winning stuff. The Dan Patrick Show is another excellent podcast. When Dan conducts interviews, his stooges are really lame, though.
Get to praising us.
There are a lot of football, terrible football podcasts, the worst probably being NFL Rants and Raves. But PFW in Progress has been shelter from the storm of the lockout. You guys have brought us through to the end. I cannot wait to hear what you have to say about the scene at Gillette. So I have two questions. One, do you think that Robert Kraft will become the hero of this lockout? His story as the deal-making sane man in the room who endures a tragic loss seem to fit the epic stranger-than-fiction category. I think
he's already become that.
Yeah, he's on the way to that. And two, will we sign Logan Mankins?
Yes.
Will
the
cap allow it? Does the cost fit the team's need to sign cheaper guys?
The cap will allow it. I disagree with my distinguished co-host. I don't think they'll re-sign
him. You still don't think they will?
No.
Well, a lot of people, including Mike
Brady
Reese,
Mike
Reese, I think, yesterday put – you know, signing Logan Mankins to a long-term contract is the number one priority.
I agree.
And I think that was ours. But you don't think it's going to happen, Paul. Even though you think it should be number one, you don't think they're going to do it.
Well, I don't think they're going to do it. I'm not saying should or shouldn't. I think it's the number one priority.
It takes two to tango.
Yeah. I wouldn't.
Unless you're voting on a CBA and announcing that.
Just because I think it's the number one priority doesn't mean I think that Mr. Kraft should just open his checkbook and give Logan Mankins anything he wants.
Do you think the Patriots think it's the number one priority?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
So you think there's going to be a concerted effort to sit down with this
guy?
No,
I think Andy and Eric are right about that. I think they will go after him, and that will be the reason I don't think it's going to happen is I think Mankins is going to insist on being the highest paid guard in football, and I don't think the Patriots will make him that.
Okay.
If he takes less, then I think Andy and Eric will be right.
Tom writes.
What if they spin it? Like,
Tom well, I have
Brady
no doubt that'll happen.
Is the highest paid quarterback in football, except for the fact he signed for 17, and I read Manning's going to get 25 to 30.
Well, speaking of Manning, Jimmy Ursay, came out with a quote recently. Said you can only pay one guy so much.
Yeah, maybe you shouldn't have said we're going to make him the highest paid player ever. Don't worry, we'll sign him.
Well, but they could do that pretty.
But they
easily.
Have said that.
No, I know. But you shouldn't say those things before you sign a guy. There's no reason to say we're going to do whatever it takes. And then when the guy wants for the whole town, you say, well, we're not giving you the whole town.
But no, but there's a difference between making the highest paid player in football and 25 to 30 million a year. There's still a big difference there.
They
no,
have
but
offered
he basically
him.
Said we're going to do whatever it takes. That's a dumb way to negotiate,
well,
in
is.
My opinion.
Absolutely, it is.
Because now the guy says, well, his first offer is not his last offer. I'll just keep keep asking for more and more and more and drive the price up.
For those interested and have the ability to either watch or set your DVR remotely.
What's that? Nobody said they're interested. I'm only kidding. It's all right. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Don't cry.
Real Patriots just tweeted that ESPN's Outside the Lines program at 3 o'clock today, 3 o'clock Eastern, is going to be all about Robert Kraft's influence on settling the lockout.
Oh, okay.
So.
Interesting. Speaking of football shows, HBO announced there will be no Hard Knocks
this year.
Did they announce that who was going to be? They never did.
I heard
they were looking for teams. Yeah, they were soliciting.
They wanted the Jets again.
They did.
And that was one of them. The Bucks were one of the rumored, right. Yep. And a couple others.
I think they were turned down by a couple of teams too.
Patriots.
Well, I don't know officially, but wouldn't surprise.
That's an annual thing. Hell no, we won't. Let's see. Tom from Wilmington says, hey, guys, now that the best pass rusher, Tully Bannacane, is gone, we not only need players but talented players. Who do you guys think they will sign if Kevin Falk goes? Do you think they will sign a guy like Cadillac or Ahmad Bradshaw? Thanks, Tom from Wilmington.
I don't really think they're going to sign a running back. I mean, Peter King's prediction aside, I think they might be all set with what they have. Maybe they'll bring in a guy who's maybe not quite at the Ronnie Brown or Cadillac level just to have another body in camp. But
are you assuming Falk or not assuming Falk?
I'm not assuming Falk. So
I mean, there are four absolute stone-cold lead pipe locks.
Save for injury or total ineptitude.
But it's got to be injury. I mean, I can't imagine a second or third round pick is going to be total ineptitude to get cut.
Not to get cut in first camp. To have a strange injury or something. And Ridley would be the guy I'd pick. He didn't play early on his career. And what was the quote from your story? You wonder, this guy's so talented, why is he not playing? Or he's better than the guys in front of him, why is he not playing? Well, maybe there's some head issues or whatever there, and he doesn't learn the playbook, can't pass protect. Boom, all of a sudden he gets the Foxborough flu and misses the year with a shoulder injury.
That's a little bit of role reversal. Andy actually remembered something I wrote. Usually I'm telling Andy what he wrote.
He goes, I did?
That's true. But don't you, I mean, Ridley would be the guy. Vereen comes from a pro-style system, seems very intelligent. Mm-hmm. Dal is RBU, as the good Perillo wrote in his story. That's Rich, not Paul.
The good Perillo.
I agree that...
it's like The Good Wife, that show.
I agree if there's one candidate out of those, it would be Ridley. I totally agree with that. I just don't think, you know, what's your less than 1%, you know, that Bill's going to resign over these double sessions?
Oh, I think there's a much better chance Ridley is not on the roster than there is Belichick resigns.
I don't think there's much of a chance of Ridley not being on the roster on opening day, barring an injury. There's always,
well,
you know,
mine
injuries
would be
happening.
An injury.
No, I'm talking a real injury.
Hellenic
like
flu injury.
No, I'm not. I don't think that's a possibility. You know, I think if he rips up his knee, you know, in practice, then, you know, that these things happen.
Oh, my arm.
I don't think that he's going on the injury reserve list with the Hellenic flu.
Just so you know.
The Walt Williams flu, we should call it, for the Patriots.
Negative Andy.
Say, what do the Greeks have to do with the flu in Foxborough?
Needs to check in a little bit here. Mark Herzlick, this close.
Oh, yeah.
To,
what?
Passing a threshold with me and going into Tim Tebow land.
Oh, I saw some of the tweets after he signed.
Well, first of all, just like this coronation. I mean, he basically held a LeBron James-like the decision on Twitter for Mark Herzlick. You know, I'm at 10 a.m. I'll announce I'm going to choose between these teams. You're an undrafted rookie. I know you have a great story, but shut the bleep up and go make a football team. Know your role, shut your hole, and make a team, and then tell your story later. Little bit. He's close. I love him. Most impressive guy I've ever seen at the combine.
He's a little impatient.
A little bit over-publicized here.
Yeah.
Over-saturation with Mark
Herzlick.
Andy
not happy with Mark Herzlick.
I hope he makes the Giants. I want him to be a great player.
I want him to succeed, too, because it is a great story. Even though he went to BC, it's a great story.
I mean, he signed with the Giants, and he's live on SportsCenter 2 minutes later, right now.
Nathan writes in, last year the Jets hoard themselves with free agents and Revis holding out for a bigger contract. There was a lot of talk about salary cap issues that would make them implode. With all of their free agents available, Cromartie, Ellis, Revis, Edwards, which ones do you think they'll sign, and do you think they'll have some salary cap issues? Break down the JETS and talk about how they won't make it as far this year as they did the last 2 years.
He's kind of limiting what we're allowed to talk about there.
Just to
we can only talk about how they're not going to make it.
I just want to make a clarification because some people might not. Thank you. Revis is not a free agent.
Right.
No.
He said that?
I really need to start listening.
Yeah.
But they're not in as – Chris Jenkins retired. Yeah, they've got some, but it's not.
They have a lot of key free agents. Yeah. You can't deny that. Braylon Edwards, Antonio Holmes, Brad Smith, all three wide receivers for a team that's looking to get their offense to a deep playoff level. That's
but
not
don't
good.
You think? I mean, Holmes is going to be their priority.
That's what they say.
He heard the two best things that a free agent can hear.
Daniel Snyder is
even if you don't want to sign there, that drives the price way up.
Yeah. Right.
That's a great thing to hear.
I have, you know, Joel Siegel, I guess, is his agent too. Same guy that represents Moss. And he's been on record saying we have no desire to leave. Now, that could be posturing. He might be trying to drive Daniel Snyder's price up.
Mm-hmm. Right. So then go back and drive the Jets' price up.
I heard them talking about that this morning on the radio, and that was a good counter by John Dennis on that. I happen to...
Left Callahan speechless for the first time.
I happen to believe Callahan is right in this. I think he will be going back to the Jets, was taken on face value of the comment. But there is a possibility that you throw that out there and you make Daniel Snyder offer silly money and you can't refuse it. So Braylon Edwards might be going to jail because the pleading guilty to the DUI, the DWI now evidently was a violation of his parole from Cleveland, his agreement. So he could go to jail. You could lose him regardless. And then on defense, everybody's talking about them being involved in the Asamoah sweepstakes. That's got to be at least, 10% at most of that. That seems like a long shot.
For a team that's or above the cap to add
so if
a
you
15
lose
to
Cromartie,
25, I mean, $20 million player.
If you lose Cromartie.
Yeah, they'd be cutting players left and right to do that.
Look at this. Just a long list of guys getting. Nick Barnett will be traded or released. Leonard Davis released, Mark Colombo released, Tully released. It's going to be an interesting couple of weeks. But with the if you lose Cromartie and then you can't get Asamoah, that's a lot of what you do on defense is predicated on having two decent corners. Remember, Cromartie replaced Lito Shepard, who, although overrated and not that good a player, not nearly as good a player as Cromartie, he was still an NFL caliber cornerback, and it remains to be seen if Kyle Wilson's ready to play. He certainly didn't do it on a full-time basis last year,
but he's
as a nickelback.
Yeah, I mean, he's first-round pick. He's supposed to be.
When the Eagles went and got Samuel, it was rumored that Lito Shepard might come to the Patriots when he was with the Eagles, and we were like, oh, you know, we were kind of not really excited, but that
the
would be an
is
upgrade.
The bloom off Lito Shepard.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Now it is. Yeah.
Yeah, over the last 2 years, basically.
Since that deal, basically.
So they do have a lot of free agents, but I don't think their cap situation will be
now, there's,
that
there's,
difficult
there's one,
to handle.
There's one team, I forget which team, they have 23.
Saints have like 20, I think more. I think it's like 26.
23 free agents, 26
now,
free agents.
Now, here's the thing, and Andy brought this up this morning, with that kind of quirky stipulation that these free agents can't practice with their teams until the new league year starts. It's 20-some-odd guys. I assume that there's a handful of, 10 or 12 of those guys that are automatic re-signs.
Right.
They can't practice for a week.
Right.
You know, I mean, how do you get to 90 players?
Cheat.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just going to say,
didn't they say they're going to be monitoring?
What do you say,
practices?
Fred? Beg for forgiveness?
Right. Right.
I got to do business. At some point, I have to prepare my team. That's my main job.
Right.
Got to do it.
Let's see.
But what happens if you get in trouble? Did you misinterpret the rules?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, something.
George writes in, I'm friggin' pumped. 10 years of uninterrupted football. Can't wait to see Solder and Dowling, our new Thunder and Lightning backs, and the steal of the draft, Ryan 8 Mile Mallet, and the old lineman, Big Cannons. See you later, Tully. Never liked you. Lots of decent vets out there.
Never liked you.
Jeez. Why? People don't waste time.
The Fred Kirsch of the emailers. Love Tully. Oh, he's cut. Never liked you.
Yeah, and then what if he gets re-signed in September when he's when he's healthy?
Then they'll love him again.
Then they'll love him
then
again.
Then he becomes Tully kind of play.
Oh, now, if you had to say,
it's terrible.
Is he back or not?
I'll go no.
No.
Fred will say maybe.
That's twice now. They've had him on the team.
I said if you had to say, so I don't want to maybe
yes.
here. I'll say no.
I'll say yes, that he's a late signing. Because he's got to have this surgery, so that's 4 to 6 weeks, right?
So you think it's related to the injury that they released him?
No, but I think that he won't be ready anyway for another 4 to 6 weeks. So.
Yeah, but if you wanted him and you were willing to pay him, you would just keep him and he'd be rehabbing here.
You wait. You kind of see how that comes out. And then if you still have a need, you re-sign him.
Well, I think you really open yourself up for an injury grievance if that's what your plan is. But Who knows?
Didn't he have a
our boy Pat
release?
Devlin signed with Miami, by the way.
Yeah, I saw that. Didn't he have a curious... Wasn't he reported to be released last year in a technicality?
Yes.
Or was that two
Tully?
Years ago? Was
yeah.
it last year?
Yeah, it was last year. You're right. Maybe this is something like that.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Have we've been taking on this before?
I think it was the early part of the offseason last year.
There was some technicality.
Well, they had to do it in order to give him the new contract, right? That was 2 years ago.
I believe you're right.
Yeah.
I believe Eric and Fred are right.
We were in the studio when we found out about it.
And there were like three
of them. It was early, and
Eric
I think
Alexander.
It had something to do with his new contract.
Right. There were like three yeah. of them, and it was tweaking and this.
Yeah.
And
it was bizarre. I didn't.
508-298-0398.
After the show, I will call Bill, and I'll get to the bottom of it and figure it out.
Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Let's go to Big Al in Georgia. Hey, Al, how you doing?
Fellas, what's up?
Fellas.
Well, you know what's up. Football's back.
Is the gentleman with the bro stash invited to this party?
Who's got a bro stash?
I think he's quoting the commercial where they... Is that what you're doing, Big Al? That stupid commercial where they're all using their iPhones?
I thought you guys were into that. I'm sorry.
I don't know what we're talking about.
It's this silly commercial where they're like, people do stupid things with smartphones, and these three guys in the office
on a Friday, and they're all messing around. One guy's playing the guitar.
Yeah,
and
yeah. champagne cork.
I'm sorry. I thought you guys were groupies on these Geico commercials.
No.
Eric's a groupie.
Not really.
I don't really watch commercials. They yell at me all the time for that. Do you notice
how many insurance commercials there are now? It's like all of a sudden they all decided we're going to spend a lot of money on
Well, half of them are Geico. Geico has like three different ad campaigns going on.
Progressive has two or three.
They have
now,
a couple, too.
State Farm.
Right.
And then State Farm and the other guy,
that's right.
you know, Mr. Mayhem.
That's right.
You know, yeah. there's a lot of them out there. Anyway.
That one's funny to me.
I like Mr. Mayhem.
Kicking the chair at the end, that just cracks me up every time. Yeah. I can't help it.
So what's up, Al?
Anyways, listen, I think Andy is absolutely right. I think the coaches have kind of been undercut here with these practice restrictions. Maybe they need to form their own association, you know, and get a seat at the table, you know, whatever. But that does seem like you're micromanaging the coaches when you dictate, you know, procedures in practice.
Yeah, and it's people that, no offense, don't really know football. The owners are businessmen. They bought football teams. They own football teams. That would be like Bill going to negotiate the business side for them and then telling them what the new rules are of revenue sharing. It's just, as I said, cut off at the knees. He can't do his job as best he should.
Well, there have been coaches throughout time that, have, you know, as soon as the owner stepped on the field during practice, they would just call practice off.
Mm-hmm.
They'd say, hey, you know, that's it. When you step on this field, you know, it's over because, you know, you're sending a signal that you're, you know, that I'm not in charge of the team.
Right, like Jerry Jones when he comes down to the sideline in the fourth quarter every
game.
Well,
that's it, but I think an owner should have a right to walk out and watch practice.
And the coach has the right to not want him to.
I think that's bull.
Okay. I have no problem with Robert walking out there. I don't think he injects himself into the atmosphere at all. He observes like
right,
he should.
Right.
But I think there's some I wouldn't want out there.
Now, there's, you know, you may, if they really get serious about this 18-game schedule, maybe you got to, you know, maybe that would have been the time to revisit this issue at that time about being in pads or how many times or whatever. But until you get to the 18-game schedule, I'm not sure. I think this was a little premature to be doing this. But, you know, do you think it's possible that the coaches might, you know, have a little payback in mind to the player reps that are on their teams because of this, or do you think they'll, you know, look past that?
I think
Bill will look past it because Light's going to be gone and he's not going to do anything to Brady.
I don't think they can afford to take retribution against
no.
those.
I mean, they literally
players.
Have their hands full just trying to build and prepare a team right now. I don't think they have time for any wasted energy, thought, motion, which, by the way, should make for some really interesting Bill Belichick press conferences when his plate is, you know, overflowing with things to do.
Right.
Well, why, you know, definitely wild here this couple of weeks here with free agency and you know, opening camps and all this stuff. It's just going to be incredible. Do you think that, I mean, is there anybody out there that we know we're going to get to replace Tully Bantakane, or is there a top 5 list, top 10 list? I mean, what How's that going
to
go?
If you ask these guys, it's one name.
Well, Matt Roth would be my pick, but to me, it's a good idea for a replacement because I think that's what he is, a rotational guy who
Matt
fits
Roth
the system.
Is ridiculous.
Well, but our friends at Pro Football Focus seem to think there's going to be this sweepstakes for Matt Roth. If that's the case,
we don't have friends at Pro Football Focus.
For Matt Roth. I'm putting a contract on the table. Should he like to sign it and come play for the Patriots?
They don't
okay.
like us.
But you were cut mid-season in 2009. You're not DeMarcus Ware. I don't care what the metrics at Pro Football Focus tell
the
you.
Metrics.
You're just a guy. You're an average, rotational, experienced 3-4 outside linebacker. That's it.
And that's
well,
pretty
and
much
that's the, Andy Hart.
And that's the best guy out there.
No, the best guy out there is Tamba Ali.
Okay.
If you want to spend money right. and draft picks to trade for him okay. and assuming the Chiefs would give him up,
well,
which I think is a
right,
dumb assumption.
But he's not out there really.
But he kind of is. You can get him if you really want
well,
him.
He's out there.
If you
like,
offer three first-round picks,
like
and
Vincent Jackson's out there, right?
Right, and Logan Mankins.
Yeah,
so he's out there.
Well, could we conceivably trade no. Matt Light to the Chiefs as part of a deal to get Ali?
We don't own Matt Light,
yeah,
so
no.
we can't trade him. He's a free agent.
Oh,
we could trade Logan Mankins in a deal.
That we could do.
Yeah, I think.
Okay. Oh, that's right. Matt Light is an unrestricted free agent.
Yeah,
correct.
I apologize.
Yeah.
And he
but
may...
anyways, back to the CBA for just a second, and I'll let you guys go. But I've heard conflicting reports as to whether there was or was not some form of a rookie wage scale in this deal. How did that end up?
There is. Four-year
there
deal.
Is.
There is.
Maximum the first overall pick could make as a quarterback is $35 million over 5 years, I believe. Right now.
It's 4 and 22.
It's 4 and 22, and then he'd be franchised at approximately 14 or 15 million.
Yeah, I've got the numbers.
But, yeah, there is. First 10 picks, 4 year maximums for all contracts, save
yep.
for that first round option. And
4 year contracts for rounds 2 to 7.
Right. And then
3 year contracts for undrafted
yes.
rookies.
And then the fifth-year option is essentially a franchise tag. It's
right.
the top 10 average at your position.
If your picks 1 through 10.
Right.
If your picks 11 through 32 in the first round, your salary would be the average of the 3rd through 25th players at your position.
Right.
See, now, I thought that that must have, I mean, if that was what was slowing them down, there must have been some kind of the grimy details were slowing them down because I had thought all along that that was something really where the players and the owners had agreement that they both wanted a rookie wage scale. If they were both kind of offended, the veteran players and the owners at how much these untested players were getting paid right out of the box.
Yeah, I don't believe that slowed him down.
I don't think that really slowed him down. Maybe,
well, but
maybe
that,
years
but,
did.
But no, but Al is right. That's what the reports were about two and a half weeks ago, and we all said here this doesn't make any sense because the players had one side and the owners had the other side, and they both seemed very similar.
Right.
I don't. I agree. I don't think it did slow them down,
no.
but the reports were that was the big stumbling block.
No, no.
And you remember that
yeah,
whole
all
thing.
All it takes is one guy.
Well, that's why I'm saying it must have been in the weeds.
Yeah,
it must have get in under the weeds. Must have slowed them down because I think the overall concept.
No, I think
was
one guy
that they were both in favor of.
I think one guy told somebody,
right.
you know, oh, you know, we're discussing a little bit apart, but in the grand scheme of things, that did not slow them
and
down.
And that was basically the fifth-year option, it sounded like, how
right.
exactly that
right.
was going to work.
That was a drop.
I think some of the issues that affected it late were
thanks,
the opt-out
the call,
clause,
Al.
Who was going to have an opt-out clause, would there be any opt-out clause, the recertification process, how and when, and that would work out. Those are some of the things we've heard about recently, like the
yeah.
last weekend.
Yeah,
right. TGNNJ writes in, he says, my God, so great to hear you guys talking football again. Okay, I'm going to sound like Fred the Homer here, but what can we put Robert Kraft's name on a football trophy? What award would be fitting to have his name on it? The Robert Kraft Owner of the Year Award? Do I dare say what Fred is thinking? The Lombardi Kraft Super Bowl Trophy?
Wow.
I think that's
is
Belichick.
Is there a name for the...
Belichick gets the
Sportsman, the Man of the Year?
Yeah, Walter Payton.
Oh, right.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't take
do
that
they
away.
Have an owner of the year?
We'll figure something out.
Yeah.
Thank you, Robert. Okay.
What do you think Chris Mortensen is talking about Nnamdi Asamoah, saying the Texans are going to go hard after him?
That's mm-hmm. what Peter King has him as the number one free agent, signs with Texans.
Right. Now, he says that if they get him, and they will offer the most, he predicts, because they really after him. Chris Mortensen says
makes the Texans a Super Bowl contender. Agreed or not?
No,
evidently, Fred doesn't, since he's chuckling like a schoolgirl.
Makes them a solid playoff contender.
It was their greatest weakness. Now, I am not sold on all their pieces, like Foster. I'm not as sold on Schaub as Paul is. I wouldn't trade Brady for Schaub like Paul would. And defensively, I'm not sold that Mario Williams is just going to become DeMarcus Ware in Wade Phillips' new scheme. I think there could be some transition there, but I think they certainly have a pretty good amount of talent. Oh, I'm also not sold on the leather jacket wearing head coach they have, Gary Kubiak. But I think they're in the mix. I think Eric's right. They're a playoff team contender.
Solid playoff team. Yeah.
Well, considering...
Well, if you're a solid playoff team, then you're a Super Bowl contender.
Using
in
that,
my,
then
in
they
my,
are.
In my opinion.
Sure.
My opinion, not everybody would agree with that. If they're solid, I mean, if you're a borderline playoff
right,
team,
no, that's fair.
Maybe you could say, well, they could be in, they could be out, they could be 9-7. But if you're a solid playoff team,
they've been 11
win. You're 11-12
win
team. You can win the Super Bowl.
They've been a borderline. Anything can happen.
They've been a borderline playoff team for the last few years. Now they're, I think, in that. You can
that gives them a boost.
Kind of solidify them as a playoff.
Yeah, I think they were
contender.
Pretty bad last
but
year.
Don't you have to have made the playoffs to become a solid playoff team?
Huh?
Don't you have to have made the playoffs like the year before to become?
No.
No? You don't think so?
You're allowed to predict teams to have a big jump, and that would certainly qualify as a team-changing move.
Yeah, but to be
for a pressure defense, they want to put pressure from Wade Phillips, and they add the best corner in football?
To be declared a solid playoff team? I don't know. Anyway.
Should the Patriots not be declared a solid playoff team because the last two postseasons they've looked anything but when they got to the playoffs?
Solid playoff team means they're solid bet to make the playoffs.
I think the Texans, if they sign Asamoah, are a solid bet to make the playoffs.
Okay.
Despite all my questions and ifs.
Adam Schefter reporting that the Colts are relinquishing the rights to 5 restricted free agents.
Including Peyton Manning?
Mike Hart, one of them, restricted.
Restricted.
Free agents.
I no longer Hart.
Yeah. I mean, they're all nobodies. It's what is the tight end guy, Robinson? How do you pronounce his name? Is it Gihan?
Oh, the G-I-J-O-N?
Yeah. Tom Santee, Jamie Silva, BC guy.
Oh, my God.
And old friend, Mike Richardson.
You think he went up to Silva and said, hair today, gone tomorrow.
Probably not.
TG and NJ finishes email by saying, we got one of the best QBs. We got one of the best head coaches. We definitely got the best owner. Let's go win a goddamn playoff game.
That's good. I like that.
That would be a nice thing.
Teddy Bruschi doesn't like that talk.
He doesn't?
No. Get mad at Andy. Suggesting they had the coach and the quarterback.
No, but he also, this year at the draft thing, did that and just assumed it was about the postseason, that the regular season was irrelevant. And I chastised him for that. I called him Mr. One Game at a Time Teddy Bruschi, now just looking straight past the entire regular season.
Did he have that crazy eye look when you said that?
Chris,
I just had a flashback to the headlock you put me in.
No, that was when I brought up something else. Rookies at the draft or something, and when I called it the one of the highlights of their life, he said, if that's the way they feel, then they'll never be anything that's ridiculous. This is the beginning, not the end. And he started yelling
at me.
That's
when you were on the periphery of the gaggle at the golf tournament last month. And
no, that's when he yelled at me for not jumping to attention and listening, hanging on his every word.
You got all this, Andy?
Chris with the TIN writes in, I'm with you, Fred. I teared up a bit when Saturday thanked Mr. Kraft. It was an emotional moment. Now let's talk some football. How the hell does Belichick let this team go into camp with a skeleton crew at outside linebacker? With the release of Tully, do you guys see any trade or free agent pickup besides Matt Roth? Also, what do you guys think about them bringing in Derek Mason now that he's been released?
I'm looking for a younger receiver.
But he's a possibility.
Yeah, he's not an outside deep threat.
No.
He is an outside receiver, but he's not a deep.
No.
He's a possession receiver.
Too much what we're looking for.
We're going to continue to spread the field horizontally rather than vertically.
Yeah.
Like, I just feel like you have
spread out your roster.
I think you have guys that can do that. That are, you know, probably younger and more effective at this stage.
Yeah.
I like Derek Mason.
All the eggs are going not in Paul Perillo's avatar on Twitter, but in Taylor Price's.
He doesn't have the egg avatar.
Still
anymore.
Has the egg on my.
No, he doesn't. You said he has a red X. That means
that's on my computer. On my phone, it's still an egg. It's still an egg.
I still have the red X on my computer.
I still have Paul's. Smiling face coming out.
Let's take a poll of our listeners. If you follow Paul on Twitter, do you A, see a picture, B, see an egg, or C, see a red X?
And D, obviously have no life.
Or E, couldn't give a damn.
F, are stupid.
That's a lot of choices.
That's accurate.
How long is Fred going to let us go with this idiocy?
I'm not listening.
G, all of the above.
He was on Venus that time.
Chuck from Derry, New Hampshire, you guys have done a phenomenal job this offseason. Just curious if the training camps on Thursday and Friday you have to pay anything, as I've never been to a training camp. Also, just thought this morning how funny it would be if we grabbed Braylon Edwards or Santonio Holmes from the Jets. So I don't think
it would be funny if we grabbed a guy who might be on his way to prison.
Yeah, we'd have to spring Edwards from prison if we wanted to get him.
The only thing you have to pay for is concession, correct?
Yeah, it's absolutely free. Parking is free. And to repeat, the practices on Thursday and Friday, there will be one practice at 9:30 and a second practice at 3:30 on both days. They'll be unpadded practice, so kind of just walkthroughs. But, you know, players sign afterwards. There's concessions, so it's a nice take. It's absolutely free except for the food. So...
Come on down.
And the sunblock. Bring sunblock.
Step right up. The potential legal headache that I think might be worth pursuing, even though I wouldn't personally do it, is Plex. Plexico Burris, by all accounts, is ready to play football. I know a lot of this is propaganda, you know, with Drew Rosenhaus and whatnot, but I think that if you look at the recent track record of guys that have been in that kind of situation, there's more positives than negatives. Guys that have really been in serious trouble coming back, and at least in the short term, you know, like Michael Vick has turned out to be a home run. Now, there's guys like Pac-Man Jones who just continue to get in trouble, but that's different.
Plexico was stupid. He did a really dumb thing, but didn't, you know what I...
But that's part of what I'm saying. He's also been a bad guy.
Teammate.
Yeah, during his career.
I also don't think he's a real down the field threat. I'm not sure he's the most ideal on.
Who knows what he is at this point?
And
but
I always thought he sucked and was overrated.
See that I totally agree with you, but I do think he can get down the field, and with his size, you can make plays to him down the field,
right,
and that might be good enough for what you need in this offense
to force it to him, so people can criticize Brady.
I don't
Brady
mean
for forcing it to his big receiver down
see,
the sideline.
He gets really, really uncontrollable. He gets really, really nervous and anxious when you somewhat suggest that maybe Taylor Price isn't the guy. To do it all.
He's quickly becoming Sanders-like as your...
No, I like Taylor Price.
No.
I like Taylor Price
kid.
A lot. And I've been saying the same stuff as Andy.
He
stole it from me.
Unreadable on Twitter. You ever read his tweets?
Who?
Price.
I tend not to read the... I have
like,
a hard time...
About to do this thing. What? What are you talking
My
about?
My problem is... As I'm getting older and I'm less and less in touch... I mean, these guys are so far older than me. I don't understand what they're saying. Fred, I'm dead serious.
What do you mean by they?
The players.
Okay, from now on, we're going to call Paul Ralph Wilson.
Julian Edelman does not speak English on Twitter. It's not. He does not type English words.
A lot of them don't.
I don't know what they're talking about.
It's very complicated, and I don't know.
I don't think it's
very
complicated. I just think I'm too old.
Complex 140 characters.
Do you get half of what they're saying?
Have you tried Google Plus?
Have I tried it? No,
that's what I said.
Why do you always repeat questions?
Because I don't.
He's giving
know
himself
if
time
I heard
to answer.
Correctly. I'm not really listening.
He's buying time.
Is it
he's
exactly like
time.
Twitter? I mean, is
no,
it?
No, there's some differences. A lot of the geeks think it's better.
Of course they do.
Bowing
at the altar of Google.
I think a lot of people.
Please tell me that we're not going to have to do that and Twitter.
No. I think a lot of people are hoping that there's a competitor to Twitter. I mean, to Facebook, so they're kind of pumping up Google Plus.
Google Plus is more Facebook?
I thought it was Twitter.
Well, a lot of people say it's more of a competitor to Twitter, but if you look at it, it almost looks identical to Facebook.
So why doesn't Facebook sue?
Because maybe they're combining Facebook and Twitter into one
platform. It's not identical, that's why.
Calling
I mean, it's social media. You know, the ideas around it are the same, but in Google Plus, you can do this thing called creating circles, so you can have like your inner circle
of trust.
You know, yeah,
a circle of jerks.
But you know.
Do you want to be in the circle, Greg?
I think as far as the Patriots go, I know we've got like almost 2.4 million people now on the Facebook page. I think we'll wait and see before we start diving into Google Plus.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to catch on.
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
I do.
You do. Okay.
You do. You don't.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
As Paul likes to say.
Right.
I think I said that, Andy.
Randy in Cave Springs, Arkansas writes in. He's a new Patriot fan. He says, what role do we see Ryan Mallett playing?
Andy
has him in the Pro Bowl.
Wearing a baseball hat backwards and carrying a clipboard.
2 years.
For 17 weeks.
Not interested in Matt Schaub, but he's ready to hand the keys to Ryan Mallett.
When did I say that?
In two years.
Did I really say that? Because I'll defend it if I really said it. But I just want to be clear if I said it.
Let me know what I said so I can defend
You're telling me he's not in the top 10 things you want to see in training camp?
I want to see him in training
Ryan
camp.
In terms of him just throwing the ball like at that barrel or something?
In training camp, period.
I don't
want to see him during the regular season.
I wouldn't mind seeing him doing one of those like you know, Fred Taylor's not here anymore, but throw it so hard it goes right through somebody's hands and, like, bounce off their face.
Yeah. In the preseason.
Sure. I mean, yeah. I've seen him
play
a lot.
I like athletic, impressive, strong arm, you know, that kind of stuff. Say, mm-hmm. I've seen, how many quarterbacks have I seen in the last 10 years on that football field? 40? With all these jags that come through? My guess is he's supposed to be the strongest armed guy I've ever seen on that field.
This guy could probably throw the ball as well or better than any of
right.
those guys.
That's what I want to see. I'm not saying he's going to be a starter or take the reins or any of that. Well, I may have. And if I did, I will defend it to the death.
All right, let's take a break right now. It's 1:30. We'll be right back. Another 30 minutes of your calls and emails.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson here to tell you about the second annual Mosi Tutupu Comedy Benefit. The Mosi Tutupu Comedy Benefit is back and better than ever. Tuesday evening, August 23rd, will feature special appearances by Hall of Famers John Hanna, Andre Tippett, Gino Cappelletti, as well as current and former professional athletes and local celebrities at Gillette Stadium. The evening will feature comedy performances by headliners Lenny Clark, Paul D'Angelo, Paul Narduzzi, Steve Sweeney, and more. With live auctions, silent auctions, and nonstop laughter, this event is a fun evening you won't want to miss. All proceeds will benefit the Mosi Tutupu Memorial Scholarship Foundation, which provides college scholarships to young athletes with learning differences, exemplifying the outstanding qualities that characterize our dear friend Mosi Tutupu. Last year's event sold out quickly, so be sure to purchase your tickets today. Visit the Patriots.com website for more details and to purchase your tickets. I look forward to seeing you at the second annual Mosi Tutupu Comedy Benefit.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
We all know Paul Perillo isn't afraid of a microphone or a camera.
Good Lord, I would call you a media whore, but I feel like that would be offensive to whores.
During the season, Paul can be seen on programs like PFW TV, Patriots All Access, Patriots Today, and Mohegan Sun Sports Tonight. He can also be heard daily on Patriots.com during PFW in Progress, or on 98.5 The Sports Hub during, well, any show that will take him.
I need more airtime. I'm gonna make that clear.
And we thought Andy had a big head.
Maybe it'll be Patriots Today's Todd McShay, Mel Kiper, our version.
As long as Paul Perillo is involved in that version, I'm all for it.
Now, back to Paul Perillo and those other guys.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline, and web radio at Patriots.com is the email address. Let's see, Zane writes in, Chris Mortensen is speculating on Twitter that Namadi Asamoah may take less money to go to the Jets.
Everyone has said he wants to play for the Jets. That's been the way it last year.
Even if he takes less, how can they afford that? How can they afford that since they're over the cap? There's no way they can bring back Holmes and bring in Asamoah, right?
There's always a way.
There's always a way. Exactly. You can cut, you can restructure.
Where there's a will,
there's a way.
For the 4,000th time, conservatively, on this show, don't ever use the cap as an excuse to make or not make a move. Because if you want the player, there's always a way.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So,
breaking news out of St. Louis.
Yeah.
Bit of a scandal surrounding Quinny.
Scandalous.
Robert Quinn has fired his agent, Carl Carey. Carey sues Quinn, claiming interference by other agents. Maybe Quinn's trouble.
Why doesn't he sue the other agents then? Why has he got to sue Robert?
I don't know, but maybe he's a...
you mean this agent didn't buy him any jewelry?
No, but seriously, maybe he's a you know, not smart. Not maybe he's a bad egg in that area. Maybe he doesn't make good decisions, a little immature.
Yeah. Damien from Southeast England and a UK Patriot member. With all the talk and rumors of the Patriots bringing in a wide receiver in free agency or making a trade for someone like Ocho, I don't honestly feel that there is a massive need for us to do so. I feel that we can work with what we have in Tate and Price. I think Price will push for playing time this season.
Word.
And with the added depth in the backfield and the tight ends, we are loaded enough with a wide range of weapons. That's without mentioning Branch and Welker. People seem to forget we only lost 3 games of 17 last year, and I think people were just looking for an excuse for our playoff loss to the Jets when we simply got out-coached.
Oh,
there's no new. There's no need to panic.
Signed Robert in Foxborough.
Spider. Nice.
Well,
do you really think they got out-coached? That's the reason why they lost?
Well, you know,
we had a game plan.
We certainly did not make in-game adjustments to what they were doing. You got to say that. I mean, they baffled us.
I don't think they had a good coaching day, but didn't they get outplayed as well?
Yeah, I do, but you, in the game, you didn't see like them trying something else, did you? Did you, you know, like going off the game, the Patriots, like, kind of making adjustments.
The coaching. No, but Paul's point is, if Brady doesn't throw a stupid pick on a screen, and if Crumpler catches a touchdown pass, this game might be different.
Sure.
If the guy who runs the fake punt holds onto the ball, it might be different.
Well, there were, like, four or five plays.
I think they clearly.
Huge. Isn't that the case with all games, though? It comes down to, like, four or five plays.
Yeah, usually the Patriots make them, not make them.
Right. Right. Okay.
All right.
Right. Right.
Right.
Brought to you by Right Windows.
I would also.
I'm going to give the Jets a little credit. I don't know.
I give the Jets a lot of credit. They outplayed them. That's I'm giving them credit. You're giving the coach all the credit.
Paul, just relax, will you?
No! I'm not going to relax.
I'm making a dig at Andy.
Yeah, but I don't get it. It's not.
But unlike Paul, I don't always take the bait.
And Paul did.
The third quarter.
The bait was for me, and Paul jumped across the table to take the bait.
The third quarter of the game is, you know, into the fourth quarter is the only time I would really say the coaching was a huge. I thought they were far too casual offensively, and part of that's coaching. You know, with their supposed hurry up.
Nonchalant.
What do they call it? The 10 minutes to nowhere. How many minutes was that drive that they scored no points?
I forgot.
Ten minutes to nowhere, they sort of dubbed it in the local media.
That was big. That was big.
And that was as much about coaching as it was playing.
Okay. Adam in Connecticut. Hey, big head, little wiener. Chaz Pomateri, tough guy, Italian actor known for mafia roles. Cadillac crime fighter and Diet Pepsi. Thank God football is back. Now we can listen to actual football talk instead of random tangents all the time. Don't get me wrong. I think they're hilarious, but I just need more football.
Just so you know, you're still going to get a lot of random tangents.
Anyway.
Any interest in, I'm sorry, Marion Barber being released by the Cowboys?
Oh. Okay, now
we've gone down that Minnesota Golden Gopher dread road.
Let me just finish this email.
Dread end.
Dreaded road.
Hold on a second before you get to Marion Barber.
Oh boy, good lord, interruptions galore here at PFW in Progress.
Well, I think this is a
breaking news.
This is a relevant tweet from Tom Curran.
I already read it.
Okay, CSNN, as you say. He talked to Tully. It was a fun ride. Countless memories of New England for life. Thanks for everything, TBC.
Including the six.
So it doesn't sound like he's coming back, huh?
That would not indicate a guy who's planning on coming back.
Finally lived up to his initials, to be cut.
Oh, well done.
We did that years ago. We used to say
had
like
that
every,
in the can?
Every training camp, we'd be like, TBC, to be
so
cut.
So is he going to pursue his, doesn't he have a rap career going?
He has a rap career. He has a fashion
Novocaine.
Designing career. Yeah, Novocaine is his stage name. And he's got the, was it Black Clown, I think, is his clothing line.
Why is he
Clown with
black?
A K.
Okay.
Can't be White Clown.
Because that's what he named it. I don't know, Paul.
Can I be the director?
So Adam says, anyway, on a serious note, with the departure of Tully Bannacane, who do you think will be on the path, depth chart at outside linebacker? How about
God
wide receiver?
Knows.
Also, are there any big name guys or mid level guys out there? So we talked about that already. So
really, Markell Carter becomes a lock, right?
Getting
closer
to
lockish.
He has to be. Unless, as I predicted earlier, Belichick is phasing out the outside linebacker position from football altogether.
He's phasing out defense. He's just going to play offense all the time.
It's true.
So Brady's going to...
Two-way football.
So Marion Barber...
I'll show them. No double sessions. I'm only playing 11 guys.
Marion Barber.
Interested?
I am. I think he's got... You know, how many years he's been in the league? Like six?
17?
About the same as Maroney, right? Didn't they come out roughly? Well,
the year before, right?
Yeah, Barber was the year before, I think. Or the year
after? No, they came
the
out
after?
Together.
Or, was it the same year?
No, not together. The year before.
Year before?
He shared with him, and then Maroney came out.
Okay.
So he hasn't been in the league that long. I think he's still got some tread
sixth
on the tires.
Sixth year? Seventh year?
You know, I
ooh, that tread comes off quickly the way he runs.
The way he
I have
runs,
absolutely,
I have a broken neck waiting to happen.
Not but, 1 ounce
but
of
it hasn't happened yet. So I.
So let's get him so it can happen
well,
here.
Well, no, I would be interested in
why?
Him.
Why?
What do you need him for?
As a committee member.
You don't want Ronnie Brown, but you want Marion Barber?
I didn't say I wouldn't take Ronnie Brown. I just said of that group.
You were all excited
I was
about Melvin Bullitt.
Yeah, of that group, because I'm all about making the defense.
All right, so Ronnie Brown or... Or Marion Barber, who would you be more excited about?
Wow. Money is not an issue?
Money's not an issue.
I think Brown, because he's more versatile.
I don't have, am I alone? I don't have 1 ounce of interest in Marion Barber. Has he been effective for four years?
Well, you know when I would sign him? When two guys get hurt and Ben Jarvis Green Ellis.
That's
and
different.
Then
that's
he would be on one of my
I'm
lists.
I'm talking about now when I have my full complement of players.
I like what
sure,
he
sure, I mean, depth concerns, and Andy, you know.
Depth in October is not the same as depth before the season starts in August.
Correct.
Yeah, Marion Barber, since 2005, he's been with the Cowboys.
So 6 years.
So last year he had a 3.3 average, 374 total yards, four touchdowns. The year before that he had 932, 885 and 08.
Give me the
975
YPG.
And
give me YPGs.
YPGs. So starting with last year, 3.3, then 4.4, 3.7, 4.8, 4.8, 3.9 in his rookie year.
So two of the last 3 years, he's been under 4 yards a carry. That's not a trend I would like to continue.
Blah.
Going into his seventh year. The way he runs.
He runs hard.
Yeah, guys that run like that, they don't run hard very long.
I'll give him some Viagra. Let's see. Dowling and Arrington says MPH. Who's this? This is
Miles per hour.
No, this I know this is Matt from Quincy, maybe, I think. He says, the comment about Dowling and Arrington came from Andy Gresh on the Gresh and Zolak show.
Because I read it. He may have said it. I'm not denying that he said it, but I read.
And he says it. He says it may have come from elsewhere, but Gresh definitely said it.
Yeah, I believe that Gresh said that.
They also said the Pats could solve the pass rush problem partly by unleashing Merriweather to go after the quarterback on a more regular basis.
Boy.
like you want in the last Boy Scout where the guy pulls up.
To compare and contrast with Barber, do you want Ronnie Brown's numbers? Also in the league since 2005,
sure,
all with the Dolphins. You want the YPGs?
Sure.
Most recently, last year, 3.7.
Ooh, it was better than I thought.
A little bit better. And then from 09 to 05, in reverse order, 4.4, 4.3, 5.1, 4.2, 4.4. And his he played all 16 games last year.
Really?
734 yards on the ground, yep.
Yeah, he had a tough year last year.
648 the year before, 916, 602, 1008 in 06.
Good committee
907.
Guy.
Yeah, I think
so.
He,
I think if you have to have a choice,
he breaks down if you ask him to
Ronnie
do it
Brown.
All.
Oh yeah, but
right.
They won't,
and they won't.
And
they,
some of what they'll ask him to do will be lined up wide, which is less of a wear and tear.
I also, yeah, I love
instead of the wildcat, run right forward.
Boy, when Bill said, you know, he's really like a wide receiver. He's that sophisticated
right.
as a receiver.
He's DeMarco Murray,
and that's what I said. You know, the comparison I made to Falk. I think that all of those things, those different things that Falk did, I think Ronnie Brown does or did better. With the exception of possible exception of pass protection,
but,
because I don't know.
But
I don't watch Miami Dolphins training camp to watch the way Kevin Falk does it.
But
with
I
Ronnie
think
Brown
I remember
came.
Hearing whether it was a Monday night, a primetime football game where they were lauding Ronnie Brown's blitz pickup skills, that he was really good at that.
Well, then I would call Kevin Falk more of a poor man's Ronnie Brown then.
Yeah.
Because I think he can be more than just a situational player. I don't think you want him being a 300 carry guy, but
right.
he has done that.
And well,
in the NFL,
and
Kevin Falk has never been able
to
do
that.
And
he's shown that he can, you know, with his versatility, you can't be versatile unless you can understand the plays and be involved. And I think Tom Brady loves that type of player. I think he'd work well with Brady.
Just think about the individual game he had here in
Oh yeah,
I mean, it was one of the most amazing individual performances we've ever seen.
He embarrassed the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Single-handedly, the damn Wildcat.
Damn Wildcat.
Bad
still hurts right here.
Bad Kevin writes in, hey, Fred, Paul, Eric, and D-Bag. I've listened to most of the podcast due to the fact that I cannot listen live, so please tell me why my moniker of Bad Kevin has been given to someone else.
Oh, you still own it. It's
yeah.
just, I mean,
you're a Bad Kevin listener. There's a Bad Kevin
yeah,
in the booth.
Yeah, there's, yeah, it's two different things.
Yeah.
One we pay, one we don't.
And okay, my prediction for free agents in regards to the Patriots is that we will do absolutely nothing of significance before the season starts. I have a feeling that the status quo is good enough. Not that I agree with that, but in Bill I trust. Thanks, guys. F the Jets. Bad Kevin.
Wow. I don't agree with it, but in Bill I trust.
But I like the F the Jets part at the end.
Oh, he does that all the time.
That was a nice touch.
That's
nice
his
touch.
Customary sign-off. Oh, almost, Paul.
Took a shot.
And one.
So do you agree with him that the Patriots will do absolutely nothing?
No. No, he said absolutely nothing of significance.
Of significance. I mean,
that's a kind of a vague term.
I'm setting my expectations
low. Is Matt Roth significant? To me, it is.
Yeah.
It's not a stop the presses signing, but to me, that's something of significance.
But it's a 16-game starter at your biggest position.
Yeah. At least they're acknowledging there's a need at a position where we've said all along for the past 4 years.
We're young at linebacker, but we're good.
You know, as a point of comparison. Last year, you know, the Eric Moores and the Landon Cohens of the world, those guys that we signed, I wouldn't put those in the significant category.
You're right, Paul?
Yeah, you're having a little of a banana in the tailpipe
there? I keep burping.
Yeah. It's coming out your nose.
I burped. The only thing is, unlike you, I don't just completely stop the show. Oh, wait. Yeah.
Dan in Colorado Springs. First of all, we're back. Can't wait for some signings, training camp podcasts, and yes, even preseason games.
Oh,
that said,
you'll get sick of those quick.
I just wanted to check and see if any of you caught the shameless theft of your intellectual property by Mike Reese this morning on ESPN. He was talking about the Patriots needing help with the pass rush. He then went on to suggest that the Patriots won't want to get a top-tier guy, so he would expect a guy like Matt Roth. Yes. What a sham. I truly got upset for you guys. You should all be outraged.
We're used to it.
It's not the first time.
Secondly, as for Three Wives versus Eric, Eric is the man, not even close. First off,
well, I would hope so. She's
can't
a woman.
Form a coherent thought about the Patriots unless it's scripted.
Oh.
When she tries, she comes up with ridiculous stuff like Green Ellis is better than Reggie Bush.
No,
go out, do it quickly, and come back.
As if that weren't bad enough, she's a Steelers fan.
Yeah.
That is borderline blasphemous. I hereby motion to bring back Christina Acra, lure her back with a lucrative contract, and dump Petrucci on the waiver wire.
Whoa.
Wow. Keep on keeping on, Eric. You're the man. Sign Eric's mom.
If it were my mom, she'd probably be rooting for me.
Bad Kevin back.
Bad Kevin with a drop in.
What happened to Ray Ray?
And TJ says Andy's a prophet. Google Plus is not going to take, just like your prediction for Twitter.
You let me know when Twitter's making money for anyone.
Good, TJ. Excellent. Whatever happened to Brooklyn Matt? He's usually chiming in when Andy...
He's underneath Eric's desk.
Oh!
Whoa, wow.
Oh, no, he didn't.
Oh, yes, he did.
Wow, if he didn't write in before, he will now.
This is usually about the time he writes in, too, right? Yes. At the end of the show, tells a few haymakers.
Yeah, anything I screwed up.
Wraps it up.
Yeah.
Greg from the billing department.
Wait a minute, I was talking here!
He's definitely interested in Marion Barber.
Another theft of intellectual property came via Peter King. He's now answering percentages, Fred. When people say, what's the percentage of Reggie Bush going to... He does 48.62%. That was my shtick. He stole my shtick.
And I certainly hope he's not listening to this show.
Oh, I hope he is.
Well, then he might learn some football. Yeah, as Andy said,
he might learn how to quote people accurately.
I have to miss the lunch with him tomorrow. The boys are going to lunch with him.
Oh, with the circle jerks?
Yeah.
Jerks.
Really?
It's a circle of jerks. It's got nothing to do with the actions they do while encircled.
Steven from the Philippines.
While encircled. Nobody circles the jerks better than...
Now, are you at the center of the circle of jerks?
Oh, God.
All right. This is taking an ugly turn.
The sound effects back there.
Steven is in the Philippines bracing for a storm. Good luck with that.
What's
that?
He's bracing for a storm in the Philippines.
Oh.
Those storms can be something to brace for.
Really?
He says, just a quick note to say that...
Typhoon?
Had the Patriots released Tully in March instead of now, they would have freed up an extra $2 million in cap space on top of the $2 million savings from cutting him now. This is because the new CBA rules state that dead money from last year is not carried forward to this year's cap. This is how the Cowboys, $20 million in dead money not carried over, and the Jets, $8 million, have ended up doing very well out of this deal, but the Patriots, only $1 million in dead money, got comparatively little.
They didn't have the opportunity to cut him in March.
They could have cut him last
season. There was a lockout.
Right.
Yeah.
So you wanted them to cut him before
they could have cut him before the lockout.
I think the bigger thing there
is... Yes, I suppose they could have cut him in late February, right, like the Bills did with Marcus
Stroud.
If what Steven is saying is true, that dead money is not carried over, maybe the Cowboys and the Jets did do pretty well with this new deal. I don't know.
And maybe it had a little bit more to do with the injury than I originally said.
Could be.
Yeah. Good, Paul.
Bill will tell us in his first press conference.
Yeah, I'm sure that will not be happening.
Let's see. Alberto from Virginia writes in. My question, since the Patriots didn't draft a receiver, and let's say that they don't pick up one in free agency, is this a sign that Brandon Tate could have a breakout season like Miles Austin from the Cowboys had in 2009?
No.
And do you think Taylor Price is going to step his game up this year and become a starter?
Yes.
A starter?
Who's going to be a starter?
Taylor Price.
I think there's a chance.
I think there's a very good chance. If they don't pick up a wide receiver in free agency, it's he or Tate.
It's
right?
And I like Price.
I like Price.
What am I hearing?
Price is right.
Voices.
Somebody yelling.
Eric from Cali writes in, what's up, guys? Man, I'm really happy the lockout's over. I really thought the world was coming to an end. Tornadoes, tsunamis, earthquakes, volcanoes, and almost no football. There's still faith, and man, at times I couldn't take you ladies screaming and arguing. But now it's music to my ears. Super Bowl, here we come. Go Patriots, and keep up the damn good work.
I'm sorry about Fred and Paul.
Well, you were having the summer of Andy. You weren't here half the time.
It's true, so I wasn't the one screaming.
Some of the best shows we've ever had.
That is accurate.
Yeah. John in South Carolina. Hey, guys, and Kevin. I'm just returning to work after my vacation in good old New England, and I wanted to send you guys a note to say Andy is wrong about the...
I agree.
Andy is wrong about the Hall at Patriot Place. I think it was Andy, but could have been
Presented by Raytheon.
One of them really downplayed the Hall presented by Raytheon.
It wasn't either one of us,
presented
to be honest.
By Raytheon.
My son was talking about the Hall for the next 2 days and wants to frame the picture of him changing in Brady's locker. Even I got a little watery-eyed watching the film and seeing some of the memorabilia. The Hall is a must-visit while in Massachusetts.
Which is what we all said when we came back from it. We made fun of it before we went.
Yeah, Eric wrote a huge feature about the Hall shortly after it opened, and we all three took a tour
and loved it.
Right.
We absolutely loved it.
Now, if the actual Adam Vinatieri snow kick were cold in that room like it's supposed to be, it would be 100% can't miss. That's the only downgrade of the place.
I also wanted to thank you for not wanting the presents I brought for you during our visit. The bourbon was fantastic, and the cigar was a perfect compliment. I would never spend that money on myself, and I have truly enjoyed it.
Who was this?
We missed out on presents.
What happened? Who was that email?
John in South Carolina.
Oh.
Nice job, guys.
I don't remember, Paul.
I kind of stopped smoking cigars.
I've never smoked one.
I just don't. Even though you don't inhale them. Like, I haven't felt good the day after. I think ever since I tried to shovel snow while
does
smoking
it make
a
you
cigar,
a moron?
I kind of like, you know how like you have that one bad, you know, event with like vodka and you
vanilla
never drink
vodka. I get really sick and now I can't. The smell
so
of it.
So ever since I tried shoveling snow with the cigar, I haven't had a cigar.
So, but you're the Cadillac crime fighter, and part of your aura and mystique is having the cigar.
I could just chew it. I don't have to light it.
Oh, okay.
Pertinent Patriots information here, and I would tend to side with Eric and Andy in this regard. Adam Schefter says that Mankins will sign his franchise tender and plans to report to training camp on time.
Yeah, I just got that from Strippers breaking news. Logan Mankins to sign franchise tender, report to camp on time. So that is big news.
Do you think that's part of the goodwill effort to next step long term?
I would say if he's doing that, then he at least is
considering resigning.
You know, again, let this be a lesson to everyone.
Whenever
these business negotiations happen and you hear all this vitriolic rhetoric coming up from both sides, it's just business. You know, you had Jeff Saturday hugging Robert Kraft yesterday, and Demora Smith and Roger Goodell, you know, have each other on their speed dial for personal reasons now, and Logan Mankins signing his. It's just business.
Interesting.
All of this stuff. Just don't get too crazy.
Interesting nugget I was reading about yesterday's events and how, you know, Robert being instrumental in all this, and how on some of those. Not so secret location meetings that they had a couple of months ago, and
right, they ended up in Nantasket, whatever it was.
Robert offered, and D. Smith accepted a ride to some of those meetings on the aircraft one.
Oh, did he?
And so they sort of formed a little bit of a bond, getting to the negotiations.
He's a sly one.
That's real. I really do want to get all the behind the scenes on that. In you know, I have requested it for PFW. Don't know if we'll get it, but
I do.
We won't.
A couple of things from TG and NJ about release free agents. Cardinals linebacker Gerald Hayes has been released, and Nick Barnett from the Packers.
Was he released, or they were trading?
He's either going to be released or traded.
It says newly free agents linebackers to consider.
I don't know. According to ESPN, he's either going to be traded or released.
Yeah. He says just released, so I don't know.
Maybe they decided. Who knows?
Nick Barnett's been in the league a long time, right?
Not really.
Not a whole long time, but he's
a good player.
Established veteran. Yeah, a good player.
Not necessarily a good fit for the Packers. Yeah.
He's a good player.
I'll look up his stats.
But not
here,
necessarily a fit for what they need.
Let's see what
he's
we
not
got
a pass
here.
Rusher. He's not an outside edge presence. By the way, did somebody say earlier that Gary Guyton was going to go to the outside and set the edge?
Yeah, that was an email.
That's ridiculous. The guy gets killed anytime there's any running game.
Did you just
at all.
Like
he's
wake
processing
up
that information?
From a coma.
Nick Barnett been in the league since 2003, so up there.
He has been
all
in
with
it.
The Packers.
Yeah.
see what we got for totals. Yeah, didn't do much last year. Only played in four games last year, but
wrist. I don't remember.
He was the guy with the
team photo,
right?
He's played
Super Bowl.
Yes, I think you're right. You're right. He's one of those guys.
Was really upset about the team photo.
Wasn't included and all that. He's played in all 16 games pretty much his entire career. 2008, he only had 9 games. Last year, he had the 4, as mentioned. But pretty much a solid player. Well over 100 tackles each year, so that's what you're getting with him.
Tackle machine.
Sounds like Gerard Mayo a little bit.
Herman in San Francisco writes in, now that football's back, which one of the free agent wide receivers do we have a realistic chance at acquiring? I assume since Sidney Rice will want some real money, he is not an option. What about Steve Smith, Chad Johnson, Malcolm Floyd, or Randy Moss?
No, stop with the Moss.
And one last thing. On Words with Friends, it doesn't accept the word Afro. And as the resident black guy, that kind of pisses me off.
It doesn't accept a lot of words. But you can play QI and XI. Those count.
Who's been winning lately?
Eric.
What do you think?
He's never
based
beaten.
On,
he cheats.
Based on that rant,
beaten.
Who do you think?
Well, he's never played beaten. Like four games.
I'll give, I will give a shout out.
Hold on. Phil McHugh, 1987, who I'm playing with. I assume it's a listener.
I will give a shout out, though, to Tracy in Vegas, who did manage to beat me.
You have a two-game losing streak to girls.
I know. She predicted it, too. She sent me a challenge and said, you ready to lose to another girl, and gave me the little wink icon.
Lindsay showed me a word that you used today, bemoan, maybe?
Yep,
did you
bemoan,
use that today?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She got all mad at her. So these are the kind of Dick words
Stadium.
That he uses.
Beaver Stadium.
She uses use.
Dick Stadium.
Yeah, I know.
And wins.
We'll end the show with an email from Brooklyn Matt.
Yeah.
He says, I heard my name while I was sleeping. I was snoozing on the bed. I was snoozing on the bed in my perpetual life of Riley, and from out of the mumbling background din, which is you guys yammering endlessly, I heard my name mentioned and it jolted me awake. I love when that happens. Ever listen to your show while zoning in and out of consciousness?
Your friend does it all the time.
Yep. I do it while I'm on the show. Anyway, I missed what the question posed to me was. I'll just tell Andy to go back to college. There, that ought to cover whatever ignorance was on display from Big Head. I was happy to hear him in good spirits today and full of five-hour energy. Happy football season. Brooklyn
I just like
Matt.
Football.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress.
Another hour. Another hour.
I got things to do.
Me too. I'm overwhelmed.
But we
the
will,
end of this lockout, I'm screwed.
We will be back on Thursday. Practice is at 9:30 till 11:30.
Oh, yeah.
Then we'll be back on the show. Then there's a practice at 3:30 on Thursday. We'll be out there for both of them with reports on PFW. We'll start the camp podcast on Thursday. Stay tuned to Patriots.com for everything that's going on. Patriots Today, the video show. It's back. Blister in the sun, let me go on. Big hands, I know you're the one. Body and beats, I stain my sheets, I don't even know why. My girlfriend, she's at the end, she is starting to cry. Let me go on. That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to PFWOnline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.